with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Pycod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy!
Hurry, step right up. It's Moran Monday on the horn. And the Morans are bulging at the tent fabric walls even as I speak. Step right up. You will not believe your eyes. Well, it's radio. You won't believe your ears when you hear these Morans, dangerous Morans, silly Morans, political Morans, social Morans, the right wing on its Moranic display. Only on Mondays with the Morans, Moran Monday on the horn. Hurry, hurry, hurry. Head for the hills or you'll be up to your armpits in Morans.
It is indeed Moran Monday on the horn, and I'm awfully glad to say that because it feels like I haven't been able to do a Moran Monday in forever. But lo and behold, we've got them. And it's worth noting that there are a gentle reminder, gentle listener, that there are degrees and distinctions of Moran, such as, you ask, I'll tell you, there are Morans who are just plain dumb, Morans who are just plain silly, Morans who are just plain ignorant. But then there are also the dangerous ones. I think I've told you on occasion that one of my favorite pieces of historical fiction, and it is a real-life, genuine romp, is a 1980 novel by a brilliant man who lived for 10 years or so in Mexico, learning about the life ways and the ancient history and customs of pre-conquest. The pre-conquest civilization there. His name was Gary Jennings. The book is called Aztec. If you've never read it, I highly recommend it. Yeah, there's some dodgy sexual stuff in there, but I think we're all grown-ups here and we can deal with that. But Gary Jennings does a beautiful job of intermingling very complicated and difficult to pronounce Nahuatl words, or Nahuatl, not sure which was the ancient tongue of the time, with his narrative. And one of those has always stuck in my head. There's a passage where he asks, "Are you Tlawele, friend, or merely Xolopitli?" Tlawele or Xolopitli. Because apparently that tongue makes a distinction between Michelle Bachman batshit crazier than a sprayed roach, which otherwise might be taken as somewhat innocuous, and the dangerously, homicidally, frightfully, criminally insane. Xolopitli is the sort of goofy but loony but otherwise harmless variety, Xolopitli. And Tlawele is criminally insane. And that's a distinction worth remembering. Tlawele versus Xolopitli. And you know what? Tonight's Moran Monday nominees display for all of us the variety that we... That we would recognize as Tlawele. What do I mean? Well, I'll give you an idea. Let's see. Let's start with time travel a little bit. You know, we were gone to Netroots Nation in Las Vegas. That lengthy, fascinatingly painful experience broadcast-wise. And at the same time, there was a fully functional the meetup taking place across town called Right Online. It's the Wingnut Shadow Convention that shadows Netroots Nation every year. It's kind of cute, you know, sad, pathetically cute that they feel like they've got to chase around after the Netroots. But on the other hand, they were very well funded and all of their crap worked. But anyway. At that Right Online meeting, there were a number of speeches given, and I'm trying to recall who the woman was. I'm searching my email here. I probably should have had this up earlier, but David in Tennessee was telling me he caught just a little bit of this creepy little right-wing weirdo's speech to Right Online. There was a speech given by, and I'm trying to find her name. I said batshit crazy Michelle Bachmann. It was her. David in Tennessee reporting to me that this is just precious. I mean, this is, we need to, I searched in vain. I didn't have the time to put into the search that I needed to put in. But I searched for this video. If any of you guys find it, it might be over at C-SPAN. If you find it, shoot me the link. Because, like, in the next hour or so, because we all need to hear this. Michelle Bachmann, batshit crazy, went to Right Online, Right On Loons, right? And delivered the usual right-wing teabagging, birther, deather, tenther, 13th, or 14th, or booger-eater diatribe. You know, the usual yada, 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 Social Security must die, yada, 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 Medicare must die, yada, 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 God must live, yada, yada, yada. But this is the part that just slayed me when I got David's email. She closed her dog and pony show with what David describes as a shaggy patriot or shaggy dog story about chaplains sacrificing their lives aboard a troop transport carrier steaming between Newfoundland and Greenland during the Second World War. Well, for starts, she couldn't pronounce Newfoundland. But the better part, the best part of it, and, oh, this is why I want the audio. As she told the story, and really, I don't know, have we grandfathered Michelle Bachmann out of the Moran Monday yet? The list is getting too big. I just know we can't count Mussolini, because she's just past mistress emeritus or whatever. But in describing the torpedoing of the troop transport ship Dorchester, and the horrible tragedy of lives lost therein, she said, sit down, those of you interested in historical accuracy, linguistic accuracy, or just not being crazy, will take probably as much delight as I did in the fact that Michelle Bachmann said that the Dorchester was torpedoed by a U-2 boat. Really? U-2 boat. You know, I guess, I don't know, Captain Bono at the helm there, the U-2 boat with his little periwinkle sticking through the... fire! A U-2 boat. Or maybe it was a spy plane boat. Or a spy boat plane. A U-2 boat. Michelle Bachmann, U-2 boat. Maybe the crew were all whistling Sunday Bloody Sunday when they put the torpedoes into the water. Oh. As David notes, had the crew followed orders, most might have survived. Bachman simply glorified their deaths and told the Vegas throng, "Let's do the same!" The crowd roared its approval for some 90 solid seconds. U-2 boat, okay? So there's your example of Xolopitli. Goofily and just goofily, loopily nuts. U-2 boat. We retract. God, it's like something... It's like something out of a 40s the Hemingway adaptation. We'd been 3 days at sea. We were working out of Havana. We were tracking U-2 boats with Michelle Bachman in the crow's nest. We renamed it the Bat's Nest for Michelle Bachman. And she tracked the U-2 boats. See what I mean? Now, we go from Xolopitli to Tlahuele. Oh, here it is. Bless your heart, Texas Betsy. Here we go. Let's just, yes. This goes back to July the 20th. And apparently she's telling the story in other places, not just Las Vegas. She, in other words, she is recycling her material. Let's see if she repeats the U-2 boat or if that was a one-off.
And I just want to close with this story to tell you what kind of country we are and the kind of man that a John Gomez is and the kind of leadership that he's going to bring to D.C.
Gomez?
This is just a very quick
May I see
story.
Your papers?
Representative of the United States of America. It was 67 years ago today, 67 years ago, February 3rd, that we celebrated an anniversary of...
Wow, sister, big difference between February 3rd and July the 20th. 67 years ago today, Sergeant Pepper taught the band to play. Not quite.
A historic moment that really says who we are as a country. It was World War II. It was 1943. It was the height of World War II, and we had no idea if another madman would prevail. His name was Adolf Hitler. We had no idea. We had Tojo in the Pacific. We had Adolf Hitler in the European theater. And we had no idea what the outcome of this...
Poor Mussolini. He never gets any billing. Of course, she probably can't say Mussolini because the entire crowd would think she was talking about Sarah Palin.
...effort would be. And so many, many young GIs, my uncles among them, signed up to serve their country because they love our country. They signed up.
Go team!
They went into battle, and there was a ship that left in this northeast part of the United States called the Dorchester. It left, and on February 3rd, it was 150 miles west of Greenland. And they got a radio call that said that they thought they were spotting German U-2 subs in the air.
Yes! She said it! U-2 boats! U-2 boats! Oh, I think our nomination is confirmed. Well, let's hear about those U-2 boats.
It left, and on February 3rd, it was 150 miles west of Greenland, and they got a radio call that said that they thought they were spotting German U-2 subs in the area. And
in the name of subs, what more in the name of subs?
Or U-2 boats and German subs in the area. And so the captain told the young GIs, 18, 19-year-old guys, hey, guys, wear your uniforms and your life jackets when you go to bed. You never know what can happen. Well, they're 18, they're 19. It's hot down there. There's 902 of them on the ship. They took their life jackets off. They went to bed. And about 1 o'clock in the morning, a periscope broke through the water. And in the crosshairs of that periscope, the Nazis put the Dorchester in the crosshairs. They fired one torpedo, and then a second torpedo. The second torpedo...
From the U-2 boats.
...hit the flank of the Dorchester dead on, and it was. because scores of young GIs were killed instantly.
By that U-2 boat.
The explosion. It was chaos. The radio went out. The power went out. It was chaos.
Really? The ship got torpedoed and the power went out and the radio went out? Well, damn. Now, I don't mean to make light of the tragedy. And I am not making light of the tragedy. But my God, they've gotten to where even when they get... This is the leading light of the Repiglican Party. This is the best they've got. This is the brain trust. Miss U2 Boats 2010.
Pandemonium. It was freezing out there on February 2nd. It was freezing.
I thought it was February 3rd.
They were screaming. Kids had no idea what to do. But there were four chaplains under deck. And one was...
Under deck? Under deck? Is that like the sort of a low-rent baseball card company? You know, upper deck, under deck? What? Under deck? My dad was an old salt. I never heard him say under deck, and he worked there. Under deck. Jeebus.
A Catholic priest named Father Washington. One was a rabbi named Rabbi Good. And there were two Protestant ministers, a Dutch Reformed and a Methodist pastor. And they took charge of those 902 boys. And they said, courage, boys. Calm. We can do this. Upstairs. Come on, guys. Let's go. They were freezing, shaking in their skivvies. When I went up on deck where it was laden with ice because of the sea spray that had come on deck. Most of them didn't have life jackets. The four chaplains found the storage chest on deck. They managed to get it open, and one by one they said...
There was one guy up on the bow screaming, I'm the king of the world! No.
Boys, come here. They handed out the life jackets. They literally strapped them on the shaking bodies of these young 18, 19-year-old guys. And they did that until there were more boys than there were life jackets. And so without saying a word, the four chaplains...
Wait, they did it till there were more boys than there were life jackets? Were some of them doubling up? I don't think so. So what's the moral of this tale? Carry enough life jackets? Apparently not for Michelle Batshit Crazy Bachman.
...removed their own life jackets, took it off their body, and strapped it on the shaking body...
Strap-ons? There's strap-ons now, Michelle?
Of a young, nearly naked GI. And as
strap-ons and young, nearly naked GIs. This sounds like something I don't want any part of.
They stood there. They prayed for each of these boys. They said, hold on, son. Have courage. Have calm. God is with us tonight. Hold on. God is with us.
God is a cheer line now? Mother.
Hold on! And witnesses recorded that the four chaplains put their arms around each other as they held on to the railing of the sinking Dorchester. It took 20 minutes from the time the torpedo hit until the ship sunk in the ocean. 20 minutes. They held on to the railing.
Damn, the story's taken a quarter of that time, Michelle. Give it a rest.
Shouting prayers to the boys, shouting courage. I tell you that story on this hot, beautiful day in July to tell you that's the kind of people we are. That's the greatness. That's the greatness that we have descended from.
Michelle, I couldn't agree more, and I think you need to emulate them. As we used to say, go jump in a lake, sister.
In this country... We dishonor the service and the sacrifice of men and women of greatness. Those men and women who fought and died for us so that today we would be free. Without a veteran, we would never know freedom in this country. It is veterans that we owe our freedom to. John Gomez gets that. He loves veterans. He stands for veterans. He stands for our military.
Wait a minute. Did she say we dishonor that? I'm sorry to make you listen to this again, but...
on the shaking body. And witnesses recorded it took 20 minutes from the time, 20 minutes, they held onto the railing, shouting prayers to the boys, shouting courage. I tell you that story on this hot, beautiful day in July to tell you that's the kind of people we are. That's the greatness. That's the greatness that we have descended from in this.
Okay, is it just me, or does not a lick of this make any sense whatsoever? Then again, she's a moron. Should we expect it?
This country, we dishonor the service and the sacrifice of men and women of greatness.
She did say that. We dishonor them. Is that kind of like when George Bush said our enemies never stop looking for a way to hurt America, and neither do we? Sometimes, I think Republicans do have these little Freudian moments when the real truth of their real agenda comes burbling to the surface. And you know what? She does dishonor the sacrifice of those who have laid down their lives and their well-being in the name of this country. She does dishonor them because she uses them as stage props. She waves the bloody shirt, never having come near anything approaching danger in her life. She does dishonor them. So that's example number one for this Moran Monday, 2010. This is... Oh, very funny, Ron. Ron and Raleigh asking, is a brain trust something you use to hold this woman's brains in place? Oh, God. And, wow, Patty has apparently found the C-SPAN equivalent. We'll take a look and see what transpires. Matt Osborne has also found it. Oh, a great Bachman quote from Matt Osborne. The sleeping giant is awake. We'll just take a second to let that little precious nugget settle in. The sleeping giant is awake. I think there's a formal medical term for that, isn't there? Narcolepsy? She speaks more truth than she knows. Those U2 boats. Bono putting the Dorchester in its crosshairs. The edge over there maintaining the depth on the bow planes. Oh, it hurts us. It hurts us. It hurts us. But then, okay, so we got it. So we got to bridge the divide. We got to go from Xolopitli to Tlawele. And I've got that for you, too. A very disturbing article coming out of the New York Times a couple of days ago. Debate heats up about mosque near Ground Zero. This is the New York Times, and of course it has to do with the great Islamic Center debate that is scheduled. They're going to build it right on top of... They're going to build it right on top of Ground Zero. The dirty Muslim drinks stagging off pull frazzleck and snap. Right on top of Ground Zero they are. Except they're not. And, you know, memo to the New York Times. They're supposed to be into this facting stuff. It's not a mosque. It's a YMCA for Muslims. No minarets. No, none. No calls to prayer. What do we call that fellow? Muezzin? Muezzin? M-U-E-Z-Z-I-N that I don't know how to pronounce? None of those guys either. It will have a gym, you know, basketball courts, maybe some racquetball, handball, volleyball, that kind of thing. Maybe some stair climbers and stuff to, you know, get your cardio going. And a little prayer room, sure. Library, that kind of thing. But it's not a mosque. But that doesn't stop Newt Gingrich from screaming, "Mosque!" He sort of gets a little sideline Moran Monday nomination for this. But I save the real nomination on this for Rabbi Abraham Foxman, with whom I frequently find myself in agreement. But not on this one. No, this is just nasty. Abraham Foxman of the Anti-Defamation League has condemned this Islamic Center. Now, I don't know about you, but me, I'm not afraid of an Islamic Center. I'm not any more afraid of an Islamic Center than I am of a Young Men's Hasidic Association building or a YMCA. No. And I'm not afraid of mosques or synagogues. I'm a little creeped out by Baptist churches, but that's because I'm a recovering Southern Baptist and I know what evil lurks in those dens of iniquity. The Anti-Defamation League, of all people, of all groups, the Anti-Defamation League has announced that it is opposed to the building of this Islamic Center in Manhattan, two blocks north of Ground Zero. North two blocks. Yeah. There is a quote in the New York Times story from Abraham Foxman. Is simply sickening. By the way, when the group that's wants to build this Islamic Center went to build it, you know what they based it on? You know what they based their plans for it on? They based it on Jewish community centers and YMCAs in Manhattan. Their managing board will have Muslims, Christians, and Jewish leaders. You see, it's a what's the word? Ecumenical kind of thing. It's outreach. And yet, Abraham Foxman can't tolerate it. I mean, this is really nausea-inducing. Abraham Foxman said in an interview on Friday that the Anti-Defamation League came to the conclusion the location was offensive to families of victims of September 11th, and he suggested that the center's backers look for a site a mile away. It's the wrong place, Mr. Foxman said. Find another place. Asked why the opposition of the families was so pivotal in the decision, Mr. Foxman, a Holocaust survivor, hello, said they were, and this is a real kick in the teeth, entitled to their emotions, and this is the pull quote. Survivors of the Holocaust are entitled to feelings that are irrational, he said. Referring to the loved ones of September 11th victims, he said, their anguish entitles them to positions that others would categorize as irrational or bigoted. And you know what? I will not take issue with that. My father despised the Japanese until the day he died, because he spent, you know, a couple of years bobbing around in the South Pacific under the underdeck of an aircraft carrier. with a bunch of Japanese people trying to kill him. And he took umbrage at it. And he carried his bigotry to the grave. Their anguish entitles them to positions that others would categorize as irrational or bigoted. That is not in and of itself a wrong statement, I don't think. But the import of the ADL opposing this Islamic center that's not a mosque, the import of this is the fact that while Mr. Foxman says that the 9/11 victims' families' anguish entitles them to positions that others would categorize as irrational or bigoted, the ADL's subsequent position calling for the Islamic center not to be built takes it a step further. And while we acknowledge that the feelings of the anguished feelings may be irrational or bigoted, what Mr. Foxman now says is that we have to affirm the irrationality and we have to adopt the bigotry. And there is not a damn thing you could say to me to convince me that that is so. This is dangerous bigotry. Ultimately, because our side is no good at confrontation, because our side is not much count at fighting back, ultimately, I predict, I know, crystal ball, threadbare velvet robe with the frayed moon and stars hanging off of it, I predict that this Islamic center will not be built. Because no one has unlimited money, and there's no sense in this Islamic center being built two blocks, two whole blocks, Manhattan city blocks, from the side of the Twin Towers. There's no sense in building it just so some bigoted, prejudiced, sick-brained, right-wing, repig-licking, tea-bagging, booger-eating, death-er, 10th-er, 14th-er, 13th-er freak, Tlawele freak, can blow it up. Possibly with women and children inside it. Because if you don't think that someone of that ilk will do something of that sort, you are far more Pollyanna than I, and less connected to reality. We're talking about people who fly planes into buildings. I'm not talking about 9/11. I'm talking about the birth or death or 10th or 13th or 14th or booger eater who flew a plane into a building in Austin, Texas, because he didn't like taxes, and yet had a nice home in the suburbs and an airplane and a hangar to keep it in. They shoot people. They do crazed, violent things at the behest of people like Glenn Beck, who I am sure has had his own little on-air aneurysm about this Islamic center. Think I'm wrong? Do you recall the story of a couple of months back in which an Islamic center in Nashville, Tennessee was attacked? And graffiti sprayed all over it, and damages inflicted upon it. Do you remember that? I do. Shame on Mr. Foxman. Shame upon him. Shame upon him. Lucky for me, that's not just me saying it. Rabbi Irwin Kula, president of the National Jewish Center for Learning and Leadership, said the ADL should be ashamed of itself. Speaking of the imam behind the proposed center, Faisal Abdul Rauf, he said, "Here we ask the moderate leaders of the Muslim community to step forward, and when one of them does, he's treated with suspicion." By the way, Imam Faisal Abdul Rauf is Sufi. The people who flew the planes into the Twin Towers were Wahhabi. Wahhabis like to kill Sufis on sight.
The right wing constantly screams, when are the Muslims going to stand up and condemn all this hateful violence? And they try to do so in a most profound and peaceful and affirmative way. And the right wing says, damn them, what do they want to build a mosque near Ground Zero for, even though it's not a mosque and we're just making a bunch of crap up? Mr. Oz Sultan, who is behind the move to build the mosque, was told about Abraham Foxman's remarks about building a mile away. He said, that response is just not well thought out. He added that Muslims had also died on September 11th, either because they worked in the Twin Towers or responded to the scene. Mr. Sultan added, the ADL has always been anti-bigotry. This just does not seem consistent with their message. Now, backing up to Michelle Bachmann, we have an email in from Sandra. Wait, what? What the hell is she talking about? What a weirdo. Yes, Sandra. Yes. Yes. Now, let's come forward in time from the foo-frau over the, as usual, phony baloney, made-up, rubed-up, dummied-up, ginned-up, frauded-up, Carnival Midway, the scam that is any right-wing talking point. And let us go westward and southward. Particularly, let us go to Arlington, Texas. And a playground in Arlington, Texas. The playground in Arlington, Texas, on the Dar el Iman Islamic Education Center in South Arlington. Where, early Sunday morning, the patriotic Markin burned up the children's playground. Patriotic right-wing Merkins. Re-Piglican voters, I guarantee you. Also spray-painted graffiti of Uncle Sam and Allah having sex. This is spray-painted in the parking lot. You know, these right-wingers go on. Oh, they're dangerous, these Muslims. They're dangerous. They won't let you beg you. They won't let you draw cartoons of Muhammad with a bomb for a hat. Because then they get all uppity and start cutting people's throats and shooting people and blowing stuff up. They're crazy. And then go out and do it so that they can make it a self-fulfilling prophecy. Yes, yes, they left. They left. Graffiti of Uncle Sam banging Allah. Oh, that's going to play real well. Shall we recap again for the morons why they hate us? God almighty. $20,000 worth of damage was done. And by the way, these geniuses also cut a pipe. They thought it was a natural gas line and would cause the building to blow up. The president of the mosque told the Fort Worth Star-Telegram that the children don't understand what happened. He described this, and it's described as an act of vandalism. No! No, this is an act of terrorism. This was done specifically to instill terror in children. 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 Rest assured that the Texas authorities are rounding up the usual suspects. The children don't understand why these pasty, doughy, pink people hate them so much. The mosque president also said that the vandalism was the fruit of hate, adding, "You keep implanting fear in people's hearts, and it makes them evil." Temecula, California, the local Muslim community center, wants to build a new mosque. 20 wingnuts were protesting this past Friday, screaming and carrying signs that "Muslims danced for joy on 9/11. And other signs saying, "No Sharia law, Sergeant Carter." This is the dividing line between criminally insane and goofy. But you know what? One feeds the other. One feeds the other as sure as God made little green apples, and they'll give you the runs when you eat them. Because when Michelle Batshit Crazy Bachman stands on a podium in New York or Las Vegas, telling the story of the U-2 boats that took down the Dorchester, and the singing priests or whatever, and how there was a Catholic priest, and there was a rabbi, and there was two Protestant ministers. One of them was a Quaker, and the other one was a Methodist. You'll notice there are no Muslims in the story. You know what we can draw from that? Well, you know, by the time they're done, Hitler will have been a Muslim. Remember Saddam Hussein was the Middle East's answer to Hitler? Sweet jumping Jesus. They are going... They are going to try, well, they're not going to try, they are already trying to tear this nation's heart out. Oh, by the way, this coming in from Patty off in North Dakota. Headline, Tea Partiers Glenn Beck freak out over Six Flags Muslim Day. The Six Flags amusement park chain has had its share of bad press lately, what with kids getting decapitated or having their feet chopped off on roller coaster rides, filing for bankruptcy, and other Dan Snyder-related disasters. But the latest flap is more political. Tea partiers and other anti-Islam activists are freaking out about a Muslim family day planned for several Six Flags parks around the country on September 12th, the day after the World Trade Center attacks. The event is sponsored by the Islamic Circle of North America and offers Muslim families a chance to hang at the amusement park and be catered to by modestly dressed employees and halal food vendors. Glenn Beck picked up on it because, well, you know, Glenn Beck, I mean, my God, he's got a nose for evil. He mocked the event last week on his show. Fox included, well, you know, Radio Rwanda included guests who suggested that the Islamic Circle of North America is actually a front group for Hamas. The teabaggers are vibrating like struck tuning forks. With one bagger posting an item, Stop Six Flags Muslim Family Day. So let's recap. They can't have a YMCA. They can't have a gym or movie theater. They can't have a playground. They can't build a new one in Temecula, California. And they goddamn sure can't ride our roller coasters. Damn it, this country is under attack. Them evil Muslims is going to have Sharia law all over our roller coasters and our log flume rides. And all our cotton candy is going to be tasting like falafel. Damn, I want my country back. A bigot named Annie Hamilton in Los Angeles, writing in response to Stop Six Flags Muslim Family Day, said,
Muslim Day at Six Flags is inappropriate for a multitude of reasons, and I'm saddened and shocked by the ignorance of the corporate folks and by the action that now must be taken by the rest of us. First, Islam is not a religion. It is an ideology.
Sister, keep moving past ideology till you get to idiot and see if you recognize the picture.
The religious portion only encompasses 11%, the Quran. The rest is the Sirah and the Hadith, and the closest parallel to Islam is the Ku Klux Klan. If that is Six Flags' idea of appropriate, then by all means, I'll hold your day on September 12th, but don't plan on expanding anytime soon, because not only will we ensure that you don't grow, we'll make sure your parks become a thing of the past.
What, is she going to bomb it? Sure sounds like it, doesn't it? Maybe they can go burn down Six Flags the way one of their members, likely one of their members, went and burned down a children's playground in Texas.
Stop the silence. Stop the nonsense. Stop the Muslim Day. They're not Americans. They do not abide by our Constitution. They are not one of us. You are either with us or against us. Make your decision.
Do you have any idea how badly I need a shower after a show like this? I may just knock off early this evening and head straight to the showers. Well, Bob pitched a solid couple of innings, but they started parking him over the left field fence, and the manager called him back to the dugout in the top of the third. Shh. Let's not tell the bigoted freaks of the teabag of the organizations that one of the men who first established Muslim Family Day in 2000 at Six Flags was himself killed in the attack on the World Trade Center. Don't tell them, because according to Abraham Foxman, we have to what? Affirm their bigotry, because they have a right to be irrational. Damn. Got some sesame seeds from the candy. See, good American candy apples, they used to roll them in peanuts. Good old Georgia and Virginia peanuts like God wanted. Now they're putting sesame seeds on them and I can't get them out of my teeth. Damn it! America's coming unglued. They're gonna take away our ketchup and replace it with that god awful yogurt sauce. I can't stand it. Can somebody please somewhere? I need help. And only ain't the one thing gonna make me feel better. Quick. I need the uplift. I gotta have some help. I gotta have some relief. There we go. I'm getting better. Oh, it's soothing. It's soothing. I feel so much better.
If tomorrow all the things were gone, work for all my life.
You know, your YouTube boats and your roller coasters.
just my children and my wife.
Won't be going to no Muslim playgrounds, I can tell you that.
To be living here today, but the flag still stands for freedom, and they can't take that away. And I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free.
And the Muslims ain't.
And I won't forget the men who died, who gave that life to me.
Unless they was Muslims. As long as you're not a Muslim. Except the part that's got Muslims.
God bless the USA.
Except for the Muslims.
From the lakes of Minnesota to the hills of Tennessee.
Ain't building no Muslim centers, none of them places. We showed them what happens when they build them in Texas, by God. Ain't gonna build one there neither. No mosque in Temecula. As long as I'm not Muslim.
Forget the men who died, who gave that life to me, and I gladly stand up next to you.
As long as you hate Muslims.
Still today, but there ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless the USA.
And save us from the Muslims. I thank God for snare drums.
The men who died, who gave that life to me, and I gladly stand up next to you
and
cymbals still today. But there ain't no doubt I love this land.
And my residuals. Come on, y'all, I'm feeling better. Let's go out and lynch a Muslim. Sickening, isn't it? Oh, and yeah, as Patty reminds me, even Liz Cheney had to get into the act. God, these people are... They're like... Well, they're like snakes on a plane. Truly, they are. They're all over the place. Yeah. As Patty notes, it's never ending. The Darth Cheney dad's missing his pulse, so Lizzie had to chime in. You know, Darth is still in the hospital. And she says, I will now quit reading and shut up and just listen since I'm inside this afternoon. No, I need the help, please. Headline, Liz Cheney says freedom of religion shouldn't apply to Muslims building New York Center, New York City Mosque. Darn it! Now, that was originally cross-posted from Think Progress. Can we please stop calling it a mosque? It ain't a mosque! Maybe we would have a little more luck, a little more success with this argument if we would stop calling it things that it's not! Come on, guys! Get it together! God, I'm standing here shaking like Rush, bouncing like Rush Limbaugh or Jabba the Hutt or what the hell. It's frustrating. It's not a mosque! Ain't got no minarets, ain't no mosque. For months, conservatives led by Newt Gingrich, the Mussolini, and right-wing media have engaged in paranoia-induced hysterics over a proposal to build a Muslim community center, not mosque, and there's no mosque, near the former World Trade Center in New York City. The Weekly Standard's Bill the Bloody Crystal and Keep America Safe's Liz Cheney picked up on the meme yesterday on Fox News Sunday Online Panel Plus Edition. Cheney went so far as to say that a founding principle of the United States should not apply to Abdul Rauf.
the founding imam of the New York City Muslim Center. Crystal says, well, never mind. Let's just let them say it for themselves. I hate doing the voices.
And welcome to Fox News Sunday Panel Plus with Bill Kristol, CeCe Connolly, Liz Cheney, and Juan Williams. As promised, we're going to continue our discussion about the war in Afghanistan. I want to talk about one other thing. Juan and Liz, I mean, here's the point. Everybody, I think, agrees that we would love to put an end to the Taliban and al-Qaeda. And Time magazine had this very powerful cover this week, which shows a lovely young Afghan.
Yeah, Chris Wallace. And we all agree that you're a douche nozzle, too. So, you know, let's move on.
And woman whose face had been disfigured, nose cut off, and ear cut off by the Taliban. We have to keep all of that in mind. On the other hand, understandably, people grow concerned and frustrated when they see...
Let's move on.
Is that too much to ask of White House senior staffers that they not give background quotes to the New York Times that undercut General Petraeus? I mean, really, that's what is a disgrace. I think it's a legitimate debate, ultimately, of what policy to have. They had that debate.
What is it about this guy? Every time I hear him speak, I feel like I've dropped acid. What? Not undermining General Petraeus? What?
The White House and Obama made a decision.
Okay, I want to change to one other subject.
Of course you do, Chris.
To discuss it. The mosque, the cultural...
The mosque that's not a mosque.
...center and mosque, Islamic cultural center, that are being built two blocks north, or plans are being put forward for this...
And he's done got it built.
...ground zero. The Anti-Defamation League has now come out against it. You've got a lot of Republicans, Sarah Palin, Newt Gingrich, Bill Kristol... Very much against,
you know, crazy people.
And you got Mayor Bloomberg saying it's religious freedom. There's no reason you can't have a mosque a couple of blocks away from Ground Zero. Liz?
I'm sorry, Cece,
excuse me.
Well, I was just going to say, I think it's a terribly painful reminder to have in that location. But it is what this nation...
What the... I guess I'm just sort of divorced from reality. I never saw 9/11 as having been perpetrated by Muslims. I always saw the September 11th, 2001 attacks as having been perpetrated by evil, wicked, nasty people with a grudge. Maybe that makes me a little too contemporary or metrosexual or whatever it is the right wing wants to call us these days. Because, you see, they don't like it when I do the same thing. They don't like it when, you know, I talk about these phony baloney pseudo-Christians who are having a burn the Quran day on September the 12th. And... use that as an excuse to sort of, you know, Christianity in general. And I try not to do that, as a matter of fact. I call them fundies. I call them evangelicals. I call them the religion industry. I don't do that. But the same rules don't apply to the right wing. For them... the 19 hijackers who came primarily from Saudi Arabia, you know, our friend and ally, whose royal family are still snickering up their robe sleeves about September the 11th and the fact that they literally got away with murder and got spirited out of the country. I don't see those hijackers, you know... The right wing, for all intents and purposes, the right wing considers that those two planes that crashed into the World Trade Center and one into the Pentagon and the one into the fields of Western Pennsylvania, they consider that every Muslim on earth was in those four planes. And that they magically reappeared somewhere else because it was Islam that attacked us. What a petty, pathetic, pitiful, miserable little example of sickening groupthink that is.
It's particularly painful. Is it particularly painful to have a YMCA nearby as well? Is it painful to have the Jewish community center nearby? You know, there is an answer to this. It's going to be a little pricey. I hear real estate in Manhattan goes for a chunk of change. If we really want to masturbate over the attacks of September the 11th, 2001, forever and anon, then let's have the federal government buy the southern end of Manhattan Island and just turn it into a national park. Would that make them happy? Well, no, because then the free market couldn't make no money. I like money. Particularly painful? Really? People of the Muslim faith doing their cardio glide is a particularly painful reminder of the attacks of September 11th, 2001? A Muslim granny doing her aqua aerobics so that she won't fall and break a hip is a particularly painful reminder of the attacks of September 11th? What the?
Nation was supposedly founded on is freedom, such as freedom of religion, freedom of speech. It's great to be for free speech, except when you hear something you don't like. And I think that this is a similar situation. People should be able to practice whatever faith or religion they want.
All right,
to.
Bill, you wanted to talk about this?
Well, I'm sure he does.
Look, there may be nothing legally that can be done to stop it. I'm not sure about that. But as a matter of decency,
I think it's still going to have to go before zoning board.
Yes,
a matter of decency.
This imam means what he says about fostering interfaith comedy and respect. He would not build a 13-story mosque towering over Ground Zero. I mean, it's just ludicrous.
It's not going to tower. The stuff that's around it is bigger than that. Next thing you know, they'll be claiming that 13 is a satanic number inspired by Allah, and it's somehow a finger in the eye of Christianity. Don't make me explain why Friday the 13th is considered bad luck. Don't make me do that.
Not his intention is not a good intention. Whether it can be stopped legally...
Yeah, because by God, you know, wanting to have heart-healthy Muslims, that's just an outright attack on Merca. Lowering that Muslim death rate from heart and lung disease, I think that's part of Sharia law.
I don't know, but can people appeal to him to say, as the ADL did, to say this is counterproductive by your own, leaving aside his funding?
I wonder, is anybody going to mention the fact that there was pushback against the ADL from inside the Jewish community? I wonder. It's Fox. It's Radio Rwanda. Why am I wondering?
Which is dubious and has terror-related connections, leaving aside past statements of him. Is this the right thing to do? I mean, really.
And I think that it's exactly the...
Oh, tell us, Liz. Tell us.
Those things that, you know, the issue of his funding, the issue of his past statements that take this out of the realm of freedom of religion. When you've got an imam who has got the very questionable...
Jesus, do you know she's got that same sort of Burgess Meredith penguin Batman nose that her father has? Did you ever notice that? I just saw her in profile.
And dubious ties to radical Islamist organizations that this man does, saying he's going to build a mosque at Ground Zero, I think we as Americans have every right to say no, you're
well,
not.
Let me ask you a question, and then Juan gets the last word. If this guy were as clean as the driven snow, would you still say it was wrong to have a mosque?
Which Chris Wallace is naturally assuming he's not. This is, after all, radio over Rwanda.
Mosque that close to Ground Zero?
It would depend. I think that for me, the issue is that this...
It would depend. If this guy was as pure as the driven snow for Liz Cheney, it would still depend. Is he still a Muslim? Shoot him.
This guy has got ties to radical Islamist terror. Those are the same kinds of groups that attacked us on 9/11, and I think that's what makes...
Same kind of groups. Not the same groups. Same kind of groups. Guilt by association. You know, court of star chamber. You gotta love her. My God, can you imagine the bedtime stories that her daddy used to read to her? And then, honey, we bombed the Laotians and crossed into Cambodia. And I was right there when Nixon ordered it. I loved it. Sweet dreams, dear. I hope you have lovely dreams of little burning gooks. Daddy loves you.
this abhorrent.
Juan, you got the last word.
Well, I think
Juan doesn't. I'm sick of this crap. Goodbye, guys. So, wow, where did that hour go? That's amazing. Let's see. Just running through the email before we before I run away. Wow, you guys were up for Moran Monday as much as I were. Was. Damn. Let's see. From Ron and Raleigh. Hey, Bob, as Muad'Dib said, Father, the sleeper has awakened. As far as the Ground Zero Mosque is concerned, which is not a mosque, let's remember, it is a multi-denominational meeting place. And what about all these Muslims that died in the trade centers? I guess they don't count. Yeah, there were a lot. Several hundred, perhaps? Shh. Don't anybody tell Chris Wallace and William the Bloody Crystal and Liz Cheney. Don't tell. Reverbo, our critic at large and author of Cavalcade of Crazy at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com, says, you know, I attempted to lay out the idea in a piece not long ago that these honorable men and women, at least since Vietnam, have been used all right, just not in the cause of protecting our or anyone else's freedom. They've been used to protect and increase plenty of profiteering war fortunes, though, and that is a sad and inglorious way to sacrifice one's life in the so-called fight for freedom. Have any American soldiers died to keep us free in the last 50 years? You tell us about it, Mrs. Bachman. And don't forget the U-2 boats. Ron and Raleigh also adding, aren't these folks that scream about Sharia law the ones that want us to use the Ten Commandments as our legal system? Why, yes, Ron, yes, they are. Because their God is bigger than their God. What? Jim noting, what? These nuts plan to have a Quran burning and yet deny Muslims to use a theme park? Well, you know, once Sharia law has entered your roller coasters, your democracy's pretty well finished. It just is. Breathtaking, isn't it? Jack writing in from Shreveport. Well, here we go on hypocrisy again. If the rabbi and those close to the Holocaust have the right to be bigots and irrational, then shouldn't Muslims that have had their lands bombed, had family members killed, and live in places like the Gaza Strip have the right to be the same? See, the rational answer would be yes, but that is only if you consider Palestinian people in the Gaza Strip to actually be human beings, which the state of Israel clearly does not, and which the right wing clearly does not. As a P.S., Jack adds, I'm not minimizing the Holocaust in any way or should ever let it be forgotten, but we should remember that George W. Bush publicly used the term crusade in regard to Iraq and Afghanistan, and I'm sure that Muslims have not forgotten what that means. Ron also asking, hey, Bob, Juan Williams, what's up with the sellout Negro? Notice he won't say anything salient? Well, to be fair, I guess I cut him off. It's going to be an interesting night. Let's see. It's Moran Monday on the Horn. But somehow or another, it seems like it's got almost a little bit of a flavor of Prayer Meeting Wednesday. I don't know. Well, I'm going to take a little break, and we'll come back to your phone calls. A couple of lines still open. We'll get to phone calls right out of the break. You know the number, 877-443-2366, 877, the numeral 4, head on. On your nickel, 304-658-3333. This is America's listener-supported liberal voice. This is The Horn. We'll be right back.
Thinking ahead means preparing for the future of our children, our grandchildren, and our wild, wonderful West Virginia. Developing our renewable energy resources is the best way to ensure a clean, sustainable way of life and safe, good-paying jobs for generations to come. Here in the Mountain State, our most abundant energy resource is the wind. Our ridges and majestic mountain peaks shape and direct the wind like stones in a mountain stream. Coal River Mountain is the ideal place for developing wind power. The Coal River Mountain Wind Farm will provide us with a source of clean energy and good jobs forever. We have the power to make our future happen now. Be a part of the clean energy solution for West Virginia by visiting coalriverwind.org or call 304-854-2182. That's coalriverwind.org, 854-2182.
We know you want to save big on your phone bill, and we know how you can.
That's right. We do.
We're saving more than 50% on our home phone bill since we switched to CityNet's digital phone plan.
Really? Over 50%?
CityNet's digital phone plan is only $24.95 a month.
Only $24.95?
You get unlimited local and long-distance calling.
Just $24.95?
And with CityNet's digital phone plan, you keep your current number. All you need is a high-speed internet connection. Get details at citynet.net.
$24.95.
And, oh, this is cool. With CityNet's digital plan, I can use my home phone anywhere in the world with high-speed internet. No extra cost.
There's 20, and there's 4, and there's 95.
Did I mention CityNet is a West Virginia-owned company?
Did I mention $24.95?
Save at least 50% on your residential phone. Get unlimited local and long distance and keep your same number, all for just $24.95 a month. Visit citynet.net today for more details. Some exclusions and restrictions may apply.
It's your second hour in the Liberal Sandbox, and you're head-on with Bob Kincaid.
Fifteen past the hour, and we will get straight away to the phones here just in a second. A couple of announcements, if you will, please. Let's see. First things first. Ordinarily, this time of the month, I'd be talking about us starting a new fundraising round for the monthly funds it takes to run the horn, but I'm not going to do that. Instead, I'm going to do something that I promised to Ben Birch. You know, Ben runs the White Rose Society, whiterosesociety.org. It is literally the salvation of liberal talk on the internet. Ben started the White Rose in 2002 and has worked at it, God, can you imagine, 8 years? And if there has been any sort of flowering on the internet of liberal talk radio, Ben Birch is a humongous part of that flowering. And as I've said on a number of occasions, Ben never sends a bill. You don't have to, no, he doesn't. There's a PayPal button at whiterosesociety.org, and I am asking you very sincerely if you would please help out a little bit. Like us, Ben often augments the funds for the White Rose out of his own pocket, as we do here with the horn when we fall short. And Ben contacted me the other day to say that they were down to $4 in the kitty at White Rose Society. He was kicking in some money of his own, but he has to get, you know, server space is not free, and Ben does not own his servers any more than most anybody else does. There's a monthly fee on them. HeadOnRadioNetwork.com is hosted on White Rose servers. All the podcasts come from White Rose servers. This live stream comes through White Rose servers. And Ben is literally in extremis with the White Rose, struggling to keep it on the air because contributions have largely dried up. So I am asking you, if the horn matters to you, if all of the content that Ben provides at WhiteRoseSociety.org matters to you, If all that Ben has done since 2002 matters to you, please, immediately, as in yesterday, hustle over to whiterosesociety.org and find the PayPal button and use it. Because if it does, if he doesn't get the bill paid the next couple of days, it, the fact that we wound up in a $700 hole last month here at the Horn doesn't matter. Because it goes dark. Okay? It takes, as I've said, a lot to keep all of this going. This isn't just Mickey Rooney looking at Judy Garland saying, let's put on a show, my daddy's got a barn. There's a lot of sweat and a lot of toil and a lot of volunteer labor that goes into all of this. And Ben never, hardly ever, says, hey, Bob, you know, would you make a pitch for the White Rose? Well, this is the hardly ever part. Please, if you want to hear all of this continue, as well as everything else that happens at the White Rose, Ben sincerely needs your help and your support. And we will get back to our regularly scheduled horn pitch as soon as Ben tells me that he's out of the woods over at White Rose. Okay? Please? Thank you. Secondly, now just for your reading pleasure, let me encourage you to, you know what a brilliant word performance, word and video performance artist Matt Osborne is. He is our Southeast correspondent at Osborne Inc., OSBORNEINK.com. Matt has been, Matt posted this morning a sort of retrospective on our miserable journey to Las Vegas. And he put it up at Daily Kos. If you wouldn't mind, and it would be sincerely helpful, especially if you have any sort of a diary at Daily Kos or whatever, go to Osborne Inc. This is the easiest way. Go to Osborne Inc., OSBORNEINK.com, and click on the Kos link at the top of the page, and it'll take you to today's posting. Today's posting being named Fear, Loathing, and the Las Vegas Rio. Go and, by all means, recommend it, please, so that maybe it'll pop up toward the front page. That would be very, very nice. But read it, because I think you're going to find it more than enjoyable. It's, simply put, Matt has outdone himself on this one. So go to OsborneInc.com, click on Daily Kos, and go over and look at the entry for today. And if you are a Daily Kos person, please recommend it. Give it a rec, as they say, so that it can crawl up some in the ratings and maybe get seen by more people. Another thing to mention to you, if you go to downwithtyranny.blogspot.com, you will see a new post there on the race, the primary race between liberal progressive hero Ken Heckler, 95-year-old Ken Heckler, sharp as a tack. Talk to him today. You will see a piece about Ken Heckler's uphill climb against Joe Manchin in the special Democratic primary slated for August the 28th here in West Virginia, on which the fate of the entire nation literally turns. Because there's not much difference between corporate Joe Manchin, Dino, and Rand Paul, for instance. They're both free marketeers. Howie Klein, who runs the Down with Tyranny blog, did me the kindness of asking me to write up something about this race, and I did. And the post added today, West Virginia Democrats deserve a real primary. Meet Ken Heckler, the progressive in the race. I authored that piece, and you can run over and by all means read it, Facebook it, link it, spread it around far and wide because we need to build some momentum for Ken Heckler. See, this is all part of the frustrating experience of doing radio the way that we have to do it here with our hand constantly out, because God knows if we could just keep the bills paid here, then I could say, hey, go donate to this guy. Hey, donate to that cause. This is worthy. And it would be so easy, and it would be such a joy. I checked. Ken doesn't have a PayPal button yet up on his campaign website, but I think something like that will be in the offing. Be mindful of that and spread it around. I'd love for people to know Ken Heckler's story because, among other things, I suspect that his candidacy has been dismissed as sort of old man crack pottery. When the fact of the matter is, Ken Heckler is a better human being by an order and magnitude of millions than Joe Manchin may ever dream of being. Can you imagine Joe Manchin marching with Martin Luther King Jr. at Selma had he been of age to do it? Me neither. Well, Ken Heckler was the only member of the United States Congress, the only member of the United States Congress who actually marched with Dr. King at Selma. That's the kind of guy we're talking about. So I hope I've hit the high points now, and we will go straight away to the phones. Let's see, and here we go. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hi there.
Hey, Susan.
First of all, towards the end of my little statement here, I'm going to say one naughty word. I just want to warn people. But before I get into that, I ran across something that I would like to, pass on to people. If you are a U.S. veteran, a U.S. disabled veteran of any type who likes to read, especially science fiction, and you have a computer or an e-reader, go to www.baen.com, Baen Books. They publish a whole lot of science fiction.
Oh, that they do.
Oh, yeah. Now, if you are disabled, especially if you are a disabled veteran of any type, you can get electronic books free of charge, all of them. If you are disabled physically, your eyes or disabled physically to the point where, you're not a vet, but you're disabled, your sight or your eyes are, you need larger types, you can only get through electronic media, or you can't hold a book, and so you need electronic media, you can also get it free through these people. And all you need to do is fill out one form online.
That's very nice.
And these people, they open up their entire list to you.
Wow.
It's just awesome.
Oh, I have read a slew of books over the years from that imprint.
Have you ever heard of an author called Lois McMaster Bujold? She invented Miles Rakosigan?
No.
Okay. You have to try her. Anyway, she's got a new one coming out. Her fans are just like this.
Over the moon. Yep.
Right. Okay. Donald and I are both big fans and have been for years. Because Donald has had multiple eye surgeries, he needs super, super large fonts that he can only get on a computer. Makes reading very hard for him on a book. With electronic media, hey, I just downloaded the arc of that book. It's not available to anybody else.
Wow.
And it cost a dime. These people are really cool. And people, If you're not disabled, go buy their imprint.
Indeed. You know, I think they published a bunch of H. Beam Piper's stuff back in the day.
Oh, yeah, they do. They do. They have his, and Schmidt, you know, the Witches of Caries.
Yeah.
Yeah. They got a huge, and they have Norton.
Well, that's a great resource. I hope people will avail themselves of it.
They also have what's known as the Band Free Library, where they've taken classic books, plus like the first novel in a series, and these are with the author's permission, and these are not out of print books. Like part of the first novel in the Honor Harrington series is part of this free library. You can go up and you can download it for free. Anybody, visit their website, buy their books. These people are good people. Just because I can get these books for download for free, doesn't mean I'm going to stop buying Anne McCaffrey novels in the dead free version. Because I like to handle books.
Yeah, I'm that way too. I'm in the middle of a big reread right now.
I gorge on books.
I'm reading Colleen McCullough's First Man in Rome.
Oh, yeah, I love her.
And she wrote a whole series, and they were all just brilliant. So I'm thinking I'm going to wind up going through the whole series again. I should probably be reading something new, but you know what? A little bit of escapist historical fiction is just about my favorite thing in the world.
Well, yeah, that's why I keep my higher collection up to date. Yeah, you can't beat Georgette Heyer for the use of the English language. I mean, she's beautiful. I know it's romance, people, but there's none of this bodice ripper crap.
I will take you at your word.
Hey, it's all words. I mean, the hottest it gets is it right after the hero proposes at the very end of the book. He very chastely gives her a kiss. And then
which is dramatically different from chasing her down to give her a kiss.
Right. You know, it's that type of, you know, she invented the pure Regency. And these are just beautiful, beautiful. Try reading one of her books, one of her Regencies, just to see the way she uses the English language. It's just amazing the difference between then and now. Now, to get on to my rant.
Yes.
My father served aboard the CV-7. You know what that is, but for the uninitiated, I will explain. CV-7 was known as the Wasp.
Yes.
A very large aircraft carrier in World War II. She served with distinction in England. In fact, she was commended by Winston Churchill. She also served in
South Pacific.
South Pacific. Now, they were in a hurry to get these aircraft carriers, which carried thousands of sailors and lots of airplanes and bombs and stuff like that, in commission. So they built them fast. What they did not realize was these little puppies had a design flaw. They needed to pump gas aviation fuel from one end of the ship to the other. They did that via a pipeline, which wouldn't be a big deal, except because of lack of materiel and time, they made that pipeline out of cast iron. Now, you want a story, Michelle? Okay. How about the night when my father's ship was in the Coral Sea and a Japanese submarine...
Which was not a U-2 boat.
No, it was not a U-2 boat. It was a Japanese submarine put two torpedoes into the Wasp. That would not have been a big deal, except that cast iron pipeline shattered like glass, spewing burning fuel from one end of that ship to the other. And because the valves were on, it just kept spewing.
But see, there are no story. I know the story of the attack on the Wasp, and I know the horror that was involved. But you see, Susan, there were no singing rabbis or priests or Protestant ministers that Michelle Batshit Crazy Bachman could use to leverage her fundy followers.
No, but I could tell you what there was, just exactly what. You just asked the survivors of the Indianapolis what there was. There was sharks in them waters.
Sure. And the story of the Battle of the Surigao Straits later on that involved the infamous message, where is the 7th Fleet, the world wonders?
Yeah.
Again, sharks in the water. The warm waters of the Pacific Ocean are just, it's great for sharks.
Freedom, you know.
But the larger point here, Susan, is that none of this actually bears any relation to reality for the right wing.
Well,
they are, as I said, they are stage props. They are hand puppets for jingoistic, nationalistic, they're bigotry pumps.
And I know, and that's why I said I was going to say a word, because
I just hope it's not the F word.
Michelle, you have denigrated my father. You have denigrated his sacrifice, although because he jumped into burning oil for crying in the beer. He managed to survive it, believe it or not. Some of his shipmates didn't. You managed to denigrate every one of those people. You managed to denigrate every one of those people who went down in the Pacific and died horribly. You managed to denigrate the people who died from the sharks on the Indianapolis because they were so paranoid about security.
Yeah, see that, and then that's where that Freudian slip comes in, Susan. Because she said, we dishonor these men.
Yeah. So, Michelle.
And see, she never came back around to it. That's what I was waiting to hear. She never came back around to it to see either correct her misstatement and or to point out how it is that they are being dishonored.
Well.
It was a profound Freudian slip.
Yep. And Michelle, fuck you.
See, oh, darn it.
I'm sorry, but my father was never able to talk about that, about what happened to him. Never. The only story he was able to mention to talk about his service was the fact that after he was on his survivor's leave, he got drafted. That was the only story he ever mentioned.
Wait, he got drafted?
Drafted, yeah. Got a little notice from his draft board.
Greetings from the president.
Yeah.
That's a heck of a note.
He showed up with his orders for his next posting and then said, I don't think this captain's going to really appreciate me not showing up.
Well.
But I will not tolerate that. Sit on it, Diane. Sit on it. Lady, you don't know what you're talking about. It's like...
Well, the U-2 boats part was kind of the dead giveaway on that.
Yeah, it's like some... They had some Yahoo on one of these talk shows on MSNBC. He's pushing prohibition. And you look at him, and he's not old enough to remember prohibition. And he's claiming prohibition was a great success. Sure. for the mafia.
Well, yeah, but see, that's the thing. They get to just make stuff up. I'm looking at a headline right now. Right-wing activist claims outlawing same-sex marriage will boost the economy. If we would correct the breakdown of the family by 1%, we could save the taxpayer $3 billion a year. An easy fix and a better fix long-term for our children. When the family's healthy, the community benefits. When the family's hurting, society will pay the cost one way or another. We can fix this economic downturn very easily by fixing some hearts.
You know, in his later life, my father became something of a radical. And I was somewhat appalled by that. But I mean, the older I get, and the more with this right-wing crap that I hear, I'm beginning to get I'm beginning to think, you know, he wasn't such a bad guy after all. Of course, his idea was to line him up and shoot him.
Well, that's what I said about my father's bigotries. You know, I agree with Abraham Foxman to that degree, but I profoundly disagree with the notion that we have to affirm and make institutional those bigotries.
Oh, yeah. And by the way, I agree with you. Okay, how about those Muslims who had people die in 9/11? Are they allowed their bigotry?
I know.
I would be willing to bet cash that if you go down to 9/11, a lot of the people that you see that you would originally think are down there at the site killing Rosary Beads, they're not. They're Muslims. I guess Muslims also use beads.
Sure.
And a lot of Muslims, including babies, died.
Yep.
On those planes and in those buildings. And it just infuriates me when they...
Well, I think it's very important that we do pay attention and that we get our side of it right, because it ain't a mosque.
Yeah, it's not a mosque. I wouldn't care even if it was, but it's not. They have no right. They keep bringing Save Our Constitution, Article 1, Section 1.
Yeah, I know. Hey, Susan, I got a roll. Great conversation. And I hope people will go and check out that book site, BAENbooks.com.
Yeah, Baen Books.
Okay, wonderful. Have a great evening.
You too.
All right, see ya. Bye now.
Bye-bye.
News Ninja Susan calling from Oregon and rolling onward. Hey, welcome to the program.
Bob.
Hey, Sandra.
Hey, listen, I'm serious. That woman, wow, that Bachman, is that who that was?
Yeah, that was
no.
Michelle.
I really was serious about what the hell was she, you know what I mean? It was so bizarre.
That's the thing. I'm convinced that you could consume the entire laundry list of psychedelics contained in Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas and still not get to where that woman's mind is.
No, because it occurred to me that, oh, wow, she's a member of Congress, you know?
Yeah, she really does remind me of the lizard people that Thompson referred to.
Yeah, no, that was way weird. Does she have a chance of losing this time around? Or is she one of those people who, I mean, I know she's a...
I think she does have a chance of being beat. Her opponent had a table out at Netroots Nation, and I dropped by a couple of times. They're trying to build momentum to whip her. You know, she came within a gnat's whisker of being whipped the last time. Because the thing is, she's not doing anything for her little upper middle class neighborhood that is her congressional district. She's doing nothing for them. She's out running around being a national right-wing diva. She's in competition with Mussolini to see who can be the craziest and the wing nuttiest.
No,
that's her career.
She's out there. I'm just wondering though if there's a, you know, viable challenge to her, because it would be great to shut that voice. God.
Give me a second here. I can't remember the woman's name right now, but
well,
I'll have it in a second.
Because I mean, because I had
Terrell Clark. Yeah, Terrell Clark. T A R R Y L Clark.
Oh, okay. Right. And so that's okay. So that's a serious person running against her.
Yes.
Oh.
Wow. Yeah, see, that's one of those where if I had $20 laying around, I'd send it.
Yeah, no, that's what I'm saying, you know, because I know I sent a little bit to Dennis Kucinich, you know, just because when they were out to get him. So, you know, sometimes you just have to drop a couple of bucks on these people because she's terrible. I'm really quite disturbed. Anyway, oh God, what was that? Oh, listen, so there's some times when biases is rational, right? That just kills me.
No, he said it was irrational.
Well, irrational.
But we have to just sort of let him have it.
Right, and that's, I mean, it's okay for some groups, they're justified in their hatred and whatnot. That's basically what he's saying, right?
Yeah.
But, and it can just spread on into the institution, too?
According to Abraham Foxman, absolutely.
So then, what about Sherrod? I guess she's not entitled to hers, right?
No, and her daddy had it coming.
You know, because, I mean, that whole, that's such a bad place to be. I couldn't even believe that when that statement was made.
And from a Holocaust survivor of all things.
And it's just like, oh, come on.
Because the entire Third Reich, the anti-Semitism was based on irrational prejudice. And for a Holocaust survivor to say that, good God.
Well, it would go a long way to explain what's going on in Israel and such. I'm sorry.
Sadly, it does.
That's the first thing that popped in my mind when I heard that. I thought, oh, okay, well, I guess there's an example of it going on right now. But, you know, the whole mosque thing and ground, that whole thing is just, it's really getting out of hand. I mean, aren't these people even ashamed at all of the sort of blatant...
Well, no, what I want to know is how will Abraham Foxman answer the question when somebody starts shooting?
Well...
We just have to give in to these intolerances and bigotries, even if they're coming 30 calibers at a time?
And that's the Defamation League coming out with that, right?
Yeah, that is the official institutional policy of the ADL.
Yeah, no, I just thought, I mean, it was just sort of like, that's like upside down world. I mean, it's incredible when you were talking about that. I thought, wow. And I mean, yeah, talking about irrational, the sort of, the Muslim thing is just, really have people by the throat here. Huh?
Roller coasters, for Christ's sakes? Roller coasters? You know, they're burning down playgrounds now? I mean, I don't know about you, Sandra, but and I guess I've said it for a lot of years now, but I just get a little nervouser every day. You know, because, frankly, I never know when one of these guys packing heat in Walmart's going to decide that I look a little un-American.
Well, no, and it's just, you know, it's just really disturbing. I mean, I'm still stuck on that freak that was going to that Tide Center. I mean, that is such a great example, and yet, and still, why isn't this being talked about? You see what I mean?
Well, I'm past that, Sandra. I'm past why isn't it being talked about. I'm at why hasn't Glenn Beck been charged with accessory before the fact?
Well... Oh, no, I mean, it's incredible, and, you know, and the whole sort of Radio Rwanda, yeah, it was a bit tongue-in-cheek, but wow, I guess not.
No, I never thought you were smart-assing when you came up with that, because it fits.
You know, it's like two apps, it's pretty uncomfortable.
And, legally speaking, and I don't want to get into a bunch of geekery here, But accessory before the fact is an important legal criminal principle. Because it says that if you help out, if you in any way contribute to the commission of a crime, it is as though you were guilty of that crime. You know, it's routinely used, for some poor, dumb, ignorant redneck or whatever, who happens to be sitting in the car while his buddy says he's going in to get a pint of Old Crow and comes out with the contents of the register.
and just happens to shoot the liquor store owner in the process. The dude behind the wheel who had no clue goes up for life, gets in the chair, gets the little pills dropped in the water, the horizontal crucifixion, what have you.
Oh, no, Texas is known for executing all kinds of folks for that one, yeah.
Right.
I mean,
okay, so what's the difference? Glenn Beck tells people that the Tides Foundation is a bunch of commies who are out to rape your mommy, and a guy throws on a flak jacket and heads down the road to go shoot it up and winds up in an OK Corral with the cops.
Right, well, I mean, no, it's just...
How is Glenn Beck not an accessory before the fact to that?
Because, you know, we have a two-tier system in every aspect, including the legal, you know, the law. I mean, you're absolutely right about that. And the fact that there's no repercussions for him, yeah. No, it's amazing.
And I guess the question for me is, when are we going to pull our heads out of the sand or our asses, whichever you choose, and acknowledge that these things have consequences? I mean, I personally acknowledge it. I don't sit here behind the microphone and encourage people to go and take down institutions or say that I want to kill anybody because, you know, there are responsibilities involved, or at least my morality, my center, my compass, if you will, tells me that there are. For Glenn Beck, though, he's getting off on it. I don't know if you've seen this latest dodge or not, Sandra, but he got caught trying to run a hustle on George Stephanopoulos. You know.
Oh, no, I missed that. What was that about?
Well, you know that Glenn Beck is having this self-promoting, what are we calling it, the Restoring Honor Rally.
No, I'm trying to block it out because it's so horrific to me. I know.
Yeah, Lincoln Memorial, August 28th. It's going to cost $2 million.
And, yeah.
Okay, so in the same vein as Sean Hannity's Wounded Warrior Foundation or whatever. That,
rip-off.
Right, that doesn't pay any Wounded Warrior's children. It actually pays for Sean Hannity's Gulfstream 5 rides.
Wow.
Glenn Beck has the same dodge going on. He's having an online auction to benefit the Special Operations Warrior Foundation. Now, the Special Operations Warrior Foundation is said to provide scholarships to the children of fallen special ops military personnel. Okay? But there's a disclaimer on the auction. Part of the auction was they were auctioning off an introduction to George Stephanopoulos and tickets to see a filming of Good Morning America. Okay? Well, at the bottom of the auction, there's a little disclaimer. And it says, please note, all contributions made to the Special Operations Warrior Foundation, either directly or through the auction proceeds, will first be applied to the cost of the Restoring Honor Rally taking place on August 28, 2010. All contributions in excess of these costs will then be retained by the SOWF.
Okay, so is this auction, what, they're in cahoots with ABC?
No, they're in cahoots. The auction is Glenn Beck's, and they went out and got George Stephanopoulos to sign on to it until George Stephanopoulos realized that it was a dodge, it was a hustle, it was a con, it was a fraud.
Oh, okay, because I'm about to say, I was thinking that guy is going along with this? Okay, so what's going on with it now, then?
He has said that he is withdrawing from the auction, and George Snuffleupagus will make a direct contribution to the Special Operations Warrior Foundation.
Okay, I mean, that's brazen. That is seriously brazen.
Yeah, Glenn Beck is literally enriching himself on the backs of the children of dead soldiers.
Well, everyone.
Jesus, that's the kind of balls you got to haul around in a wheelbarrow.
Well, isn't he the one that said in Fortune magazine that his whole goal was just to make a buck? I mean, isn't this like on the record?
Yeah, right alongside the "I'm only a rodeo clown" comment.
Right. So this sort of metamorphosis into this, I don't know, savior of democracy for white people role is just some made up. You know, a part of his act, I guess. But I'm scared about what the makeup, how that's going to look. It's going to be a bunch of people at the Lincoln Memorial with their sidearms. What's happening?
I'm guessing yes.
And he's expecting.
And there will probably be some Confederate flags.
And they're going to do some, and is the mainstream media going to do some holograms so it makes it look like there's more than there are? Because I don't trust them either.
No, and they probably will.
You know?
Millions of American patriots descended, blah, 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 blah. And, of course, it won't just be Fox.
Well, yeah, that's what I'm saying. No, these people can just go boo, and they get all the coverage you can possibly imagine.
Well, for God's sakes, you know that Fox was given Helen Thomas's seat in the White House press room, right?
Well, no, did they actually get it?
Yep.
Oh, come on. I thought NPR was up for that.
It was between Fox and NPR. Fox got it.
And Fox got it? Okay, well, see, the situation is just, it's rigged. Oh, my God, it is so, wow. I don't even know how to approach that. That is so hideous.
And that was controlled by the White House Correspondents Association, so they're, I'm pretty much done with them.
Yeah, no, me too. I mean, I'm so stupid. What?
Because, you know how the thinking works. I guess I'm speculating a bit here, but you know how the thinking works. Well, you know, if we give it to NPR, they'll say that we're liberal. And if we don't give it to Fox, they'll say that it's because we're liberal.
Well, no,
so we've got to give it to Fox so that we can prove that we're not liberal.
And so everyone can say that you're stupid. I mean, this is just sort of falls right in line with throwing all the black people under the bus as far as the Obama administration goes. I mean, I'm so happy to see that he's getting some pushback, though, for his little education chit-chat. A lot of people ain't too pleased about all that, and
yeah, not playing as well as he might have liked, is it?
No, a lot of civil rights groups, and I mean the horrible teachers union. I mean, all these people are like pushing back on this because they're like, oh, wait a minute, this is just more of a Bush.
Yeah, this is
the top,
and that's the thing with some of the Social Security stuff. There's too much of the only Nixon could go to China about it. In the notion that, you know, only a Democratic president could gut Social Security.
Well, another thing I really thought was disturbing was with the whole WikiLeaks stuff. Okay, that was all leaked out, and, you know, it just sort of proved what most people think, that the war is just out of control and it's bad news. But in the same breath, the people just gave the $33 billion anyway, right? So it just shows me that, you know, they really don't give a F about the general population anymore. I think that was a real eye-opener on that, on what's going on in that regard, because every poll is saying Americans are sick of it. I mean, Nancy Pelosi actually, I don't know if she slipped up. Did you hear what she said?
Yeah, and what was that? That was only on the online portion. That was after the actual show was over?
Oh, I don't know, but I heard it, and I thought, what? Huh? So, so it wasn't for public consumption, per se.
That's my understanding. By the way, I'm getting a correction here. Texas Betsy telling me that AP got Helen's seat, but Fox is a few seats down in the front row, too.
Oh, okay. Well, listen. Hey, listen, I'm glad to hear that, because I was really just shaking my head here thinking, you know, what in the F is going on? Okay, well, I mean, AP, yeah, I don't know. They seem to have a few issues, too. But
yeah, they're a little pissy.
That's all right. It's not Radio Rwanda, because I'm so sick.
I know. I know.
It's incredible. But, I'll let you go, because I got to go. But there's one other thing. Did you happen to read Krugman's article at all?
Yes, I did.
Well, I just think, you know, I read it, I said, you know what? We at the Horn, we on top of the shit, okay? How long have I been preaching and saying this?
God, we're so far ahead of the curve.
No, and I'm thinking, well, damn, I must be in good company. Because wasn't he saying exactly what I've been talking about?
Yes, he was.
God damn, stop. And I'm not saying it to get whatever kudos. I'm just like, no. Another example of how, you know, this is important, and cough up some money, folks. Anyway, Bob, have a good evening.
You too, Sandra.
Bye.
I'll catch you out in front of the curve.
Okay.
See ya. Bye now. Truly, go read the Krugman column. I had the same thought when I read it. Go read it. It's like reading a conversation from Sandra a year ago. Not kidding.
Let's see. Onward we go. Wow, you guys have stuff really jammed up here tonight. Let's keep it rolling. Hey, welcome to the program.
Is that me?
That's you.
Oh, hi, Bob. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you.
Remember me in Moscow, Idaho?
In Moscow, Idaho. Yes.
Have a way of hearing you that's not quite ordinary.
Exactly. Chris, right?
Yeah. Hey, I get tuned in, but today I was experiencing something and I really want to tell you about it. I listened to two radio programs on Salem Christian Radio.
Hate Muslim.
Hate Muslim all day. Hate Muslim. And I was thinking, hey, wait a minute. If the Muslims, they're always talking about how they put it down. If they went in to Salem and say, we want to buy some time, and Salem said, well, we only sell to Christians.
There you go.
You've got a huge loss.
Well, and the idea that a Christian-oriented broadcasting network would, would foul the airwaves, Chris, with hate the Muslims. You know, there you go with those followers of the Prince of Peace again.
Right. I should like to see them go in and after purchase some time and be turned down because they got a damn good lawsuit.
That could be interesting.
Yes. And so I've been listening. I haven't, you know, I've been telling people about you all over. You got quite a little fan club here.
Well, bless your heart, Chris. I really appreciate it. Tell them not to be shy. Get them calling in.
I'll try. I'm kind of home alone. I'm kind of half-bound, so...
I understand.
I've been really listening to you all night.
Well, thank you very much, Chris. Thank you very, very kindly. It's inspiring, and I really appreciate it.
And I don't know how to call to get us started, but I sure would hear it and say, gee, that's a good idea.
Well, thank you very much.
Okay.
You take care, and don't be a stranger. Good to hear from you.
Okay. See you later, Bob.
All right. See you, Chris.
Bye.
Bye. Chris calling from Moscow, Idaho, and he really does. He does his part to try to get the horn out in his neck of the woods. We won't talk about exactly how, but he does. Trust me. Onward we go. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hey, Bob. How you doing?
Hey, Jim. What's up?
I still haven't been able to get over the YouTube boats.
You know, I'm so not all right with that. You're absolutely correct. I saw your email a little bit ago. I share your thoughts that you're glad the German Kriegsmarine didn't have those U-2 boats during World War II, else New York City would have burned to the ground by torpedoes from the sky.
I mean, where does this woman... Let me rephrase the question. What books did she study when she was in school? Did they use Mad Magazine in her history classes?
Counselor, you are assuming facts and not in evidence. You're assuming she can read.
Well,
I mean, you got to give me my due on that one.
I do. I give you your due. And there it is. You two votes. My Lord in heaven. And this woman was a member of the United States Congress.
Still is.
How old is she?
Oh, I'd say she's probably late 40s, kind of like me.
I don't know what to say, really. I mean, that really floored me when you said that. And when I heard her, and I thought to myself, my God in heaven, at least you can do your homework if you're going to get out there in the public forum.
Well, and see, that's the beauty of this. That was a Long Island, New York stump speech for some guy named Gomez running for Congress. And I don't think he's one of those good Gomez's like was married to Morticia.
No, not at all.
And so she does the U-2 boats shtick in Long Island,
and then turns around and does it again in Las Vegas. Same mistake, you know, and when you make the mistake two or three times, it's not a mistake anymore.
It's just plain damned ignorance.
There you go.
And, you know, that's the thing that's driving this whole locomotive. These people are simply blatantly ignorant idiots who have no real institutional knowledge of history and what history is supposed to do, and that is to honor the people who played such significant roles in the development of the world, and yet they twist and take it, and they get some soundbite from some idiot like Glenn Beck or whomever, and that guy has got to be absolutely, there's something, he must have some type of growth in his brain.
Or a growth where his brain ought to be. No, he's a profoundly disturbed individual. If you read up on his biography, you'll find out that, you know, he's from Washington State, and he started out, in fact, in ways that are not far dissimilar from my own arc, minus the multi-millions of dollars, you know, started out at a little radio station, and then he pursued radio as a career, where I went off and went back to school and stuff. But, you know, he was the morning zoo crew guy, you know, that kind of stuff. And he became profoundly twisted on drugs and alcohol, got himself a big problem. Then he converted to Mormonism, and all of a sudden the money started pouring in.
Oh, he's a Mormon.
Yeah.
That is interesting. They have some rather interesting ideas of their own, do they not?
Private planets, magic underwear, Jesus is Satan's brother, yeah, stuff like that, sure.
You know, I'm tolerant of all religions. I really am. But there's some that I just don't understand. And maybe it's because I lack the mental ability or capacity to understand. But there are two things I do not understand. One is ignorance. When so much of knowledge is available and people use it at their own discretion or don't use it at all. And also hatred. There's pure, absolute bigotry and hatred. And these kinds of people, they want to throw everybody except their own, and they'd probably devour their own because these types of, are the types who devour their own at a twinkling of an eye. These people want to throw everybody under the bus who doesn't subscribe to their doctrine, which seems to change every day to suit their own needs. Or mean, or
bigotries,
psychedelic. Well, I don't want to say that because I don't know. I simply cannot understand how a rational thinking person can subscribe to some of this.
Well, there's your second mistake of the evening, Jim. Rational thinking person. These people. There's an article over at Playboy.com. And you don't have to, there's nothing particularly salacious. You know, it's just an article. Some people, I read it for the articles.
But, but
over at Playboy.com, there is an article called Rogues of K Street, Confessions of a Tea Party Consultant.
Oh, boy.
It is seven screens long, Jim, and I highly recommend the reading of it. Because it's a guy who has apparently worked on the organizing inside of the teabagger movement, and he writes about how they message, and he says, listen, we're not appealing to people's rational minds, we are appealing to their lizard brains.
Just ad hominem bullshit.
Squared up.
I just don't.
There is no, you see, that's the thing. There is no room for reason, for common sense, for any sort of empirical, data-driven knowledge. Nothing.
You know, I love mysticism. I love magic. I love all types of things of that nature because they appeal to my inner child. And as I discuss with you, you know, we all have three parts, parent, adult, child.
Sure.
However, the child is supposed to be creative, and that's supposed to give us a lot of good things. And then, of course, you have the adult, and then you have, you know, the well, Eric Byrne outlined it very well, and I'm okay, you're okay. But the, what I'm trying to say is these folks just ain't okay.
Truer words have not been spoken this evening, Jim. Let me share an excerpt with you from this Playboy piece. It's written by an anonymous case reader. And he says the following on page 4, talking about messaging. He says, "The exciting news for me is that the organization still needs someone who can deliver a message to the masses using traditional means. Even the most forward-looking political professionals know blogging and text messaging will get you only so far. That's where I come in. I'm part of the team prepping to deliver the Tea Party message via traditional means. A good piece of mail, and this is the important part, a good piece of mail gets its message across in 10 seconds. Television gives you 30 seconds, maybe. We're playing, and I mean, this needs to be put up in 6-foot-high letters in every liberal progressive think tank in America, so, you know, because you got to know the enemy. He says, we're playing to the reptilian brain rather than the logic centers, so we look for keywords and images to leverage the intense rage and anxiety of white working class conservatives. In other words, I talk to the same part of your brain that causes road rage."
My God. You know, these individuals could be well cast in Fahrenheit 451 Part 2.
Yeah. Patty writing in from North Dakota, talking about the baggers and birthers and deathers and such. She says, "They're like my border collie. They're like my best border collie. They go find cow shit and roll in it like they're perfuming themselves. Then they come in public to show it off and spread the stench around to everyone else, who, of course, think that that is the perfume they too should have. They revel in the ignorance like my pup revels in her stench. Ignorance and uneducation is the new in-fang."
Kudos to this writer.
Kind of hard to refute, isn't it?
Absolutely. It is. I mean, you know, it just seems to be what's being warned is here. But the trouble is, this is not a fashion trend that changes from year to year. I mean, this isn't something coming out of Givenchy or Karl Lagerfeld. These people are bent and determined to absolutely undermine everything this nation was built upon.
Yes, they are bent on the wholesale destruction of the Republic as we know it, all the way down to the Constitution.
I don't know what else to say, my friend, but I think I've said enough already. But thank you for your time.
Thank you, Jim. Thank you very much, and have a great evening.
You too.
Bye now. Yeah, I think where Jim was going and what Jim was getting to was perhaps a truth for Moran Monday, and that is that stupid is the new crazy. Remember we started out talking about the differences between Tlahuele and Xolopitli? Tlahuele. They started Xolopitli, and they are working toward Tlahuele. I just love Nahuatl words. I'm sorry. I say ahuacatl when I go avocado shopping. You know, I'm just weird that way. I love ordering mole in a Mexican restaurant because I know it's an Aztec dish, Mexica dish. I'm a fan. So we're going to take a little break, and then we will come back to the rest of your phone calls. A couple of lines open for waiting. Please don't hang up, okay? I'll be right back. This is America's listener-supported liberal voice. This is The Horn. All aboard!
Tonight's final hour of Head On begins now. 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Here's Bob.
Dang. Moran Monday is smoking tonight. My goodness gracious, you should be in the chat room, too. Holy cow. The brilliant comedy happening in there. Interplay between Matt Osborne and Lottie, chat room moderator. Lottie, I read Playboy for the pictures. Now I read Hustler for the articles. The best way to get a message to the teabaggers is to write it on a glycerin suppository. Fastest way to get it to their brain. Matt Osborne, no, you must aim for the head. Lottie, but their brain is in the other end. Matt, town hall zombies. Yeah, you got to go read this Playboy article because, as Benny notes in the chat room, in that article, they claim they knew about the takedown of Acorn a month in advance. That's how well organized that high-tech lynching, as Matt refers to it, was accomplished. Email coming in from Cavalcade of Crazy columnist Reverbo. He says, you know, not to beat a dead teabagger, but these people are holding themselves up as our modern gods. And this quote from Samuel Clemens describes it perfectly. The gods offer no rewards for intellect. There was never one yet that showed any interest. And that is in part why two of the heroes that I have are Samuel Langhorne Clemens and Kurt Vonnegut. Amen, 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 amen. To the phones. Hey, welcome to the program.
We all live in a U-2 submarine.
A U-2 submarine. A U-2 submarine.
I really hope someone creates a meme. Matt, if you're listening, create a graphic of a U-2 submarine and just try to make it go viral with U-2 music. I bet you the internet kids will go crazy over it.
Or, hey, well, let's work it a little further, David.
Yeah.
We all live in a batshit submarine. A batshit submarine. That works, too, you know, because she is batshit crazy work. Michelle Bachman.
That could be the uncensored version, too. You can put it two different ways. Yeah.
U-2 boats.
Can't you just see
the edge screaming, dive, dive?
Yes, in reverb, I can.
With lots of reverb and single coils.
Right. And I can also see Bono going over to the German submarines to negotiate. Oh, that's a low blow.
You're cold, David.
I know, but... Oh, you know, this whole thing with what I was telling you about the previous night, about this branding going on, I mean, people need to understand that it's only going to take one candidate. That's all it's going to take, and the media's going to jump on it, and they're going to be looked at as the underdogs, the amazing story. They're building the narrative right now as we speak, people. So we can look at right now, Bob, we can look at this as a branding process. We are being branded, people. It's on the skin right now, and we're still in shock because we're being branded with the Tea Party. It's going to be mentioned in the same way that the word progressive is coming, but in a different way, because progressive will start to fracture. It's already starting to fracture if you look around, and that's not by accident, people, because the teabaggers are willing to play with the corporations. The progressives are less willing to play with the corporations. You figure it out. What's going to happen?
We know where the corporate money is going to go.
Right. We know exactly where it's going to go.
And that's the thing with the Playboy article, David. It makes it clear. It's not that that's where the corporate money is going to go. That's where the corporate money has gone. We're working with the wrong verb tense. These people, you know. These people.
I there can't be said enough about All it's going to take is one victory in this election. And believe me, I don't play the odds. I don't know how many Tea Party candidates there are, but if the Tea Party rallies around someone, even if they weren't a teabagger candidate, they'll go. Someone will raise their hand and say, "I was for that movement," as soon as they get in office. So it doesn't matter.
Right, because it's the essential bandwagoneer nature of sleazy politics.
Right, and that's the game. That's the constant game that we're dealing with. You know, when we talk about, this is the crazy thing. I don't know if anyone noticed this, but Brevard's already back to his new tricks. He's sending a message. Have you seen this video with Pete Stark saying that the federal government can almost do anything it wants? That's the soundbite. We need to start putting clamp on these candidates. Putting the clamp down. Just speak. Just speak. Just stick to the script. Say, hope is on the way. It's not here. Okay? Okay, see, I made that up in 2 seconds. Just say that. They can't get a soundbite really out of that to run with. But when you say, you can rally up a base, Bob, and I looked at some of the comments on Brevard because I'm always fascinated at what people comment on there and how fast he gets people to react, whether it's his minions or not. And I'm like, wow. And believe me, that shot across the talk radio atmosphere faster than you can imagine.
Yeah, like a lightning strike.
Right, like Sally Sherrod didn't even matter. And in some ways, she really doesn't, because now they have who? Well, they found Maxine Waters. She's got ethics violation charges coming.
Well, and, you know, I saw a question put out there the other day.
Yeah.
And I think it is a viable question.
Mm-hmm.
Have you noticed that all the attention being paid to the Charlie Rangel thing? It's kind of hard to escape because it's like vultures over a carcass. Charlie Rangel, Charlie Rangel, Charlie Rangel, right?
Right.
Mention of the, and you know, Charlie Rangel was a House Ethics Committee investigation. On the other hand, Senator John Ensign of Nevada is being intensely investigated by the Federal Bureau of Investigation. You know, the FBI, they do crime.
Hmm.
There's hardly a word to be found about it, David. Charlie Rangel, Charlie Rangel, Charlie Rangel. The condo in the Dominican Republic. But not so much on John Ensign paid off his mistress's family for letting him bang her like a cheap Chinese gong. Not so much on that. Not so much with the K Street stuff. Hear the crickets?
Yes, yes, I hear the crickets. I also hear the crickets. The Drudge Report has the front page of Maxine Waters' photo, but I don't remember Tom DeLay's face there. I may be mistaken. And that's the funny thing, is more people know who Tom DeLay is in the atmosphere of politics because of his notoriousness than a lot of people do know who Maxine Waters is. And by making her a scapegoat, people, they're going to make an example of her. And don't think just because, oh, she's proven innocent. That's not the game. The game, obviously, has to deal with
the charge is the conviction.
Right. The charge is the conviction. That's it. It worked with Ken Starr. Do you know how many Democrats went in flames because Bill Clinton?
Yeah.
And that's the whole thing about this, Bob, is that people celebrate. I make a point of this, but they celebrate far too easy. It's never going to stop. Do you understand that? Because no one is going to defund the Republicans. Do you understand that? There's no party that's going to explode, because even if it does explode, no one's going to mention it on the news. So even if it does explode, they can rebuild it, and no one will ever know.
If a teabagger falls in the forest and Fox News isn't there to report it, did it really happen?
Right. Exactly. And before I go, I wanted to mention a story within stories of how you can take it so many different ways. But it's this WikiLeaks thing. And I don't know if you caught it this weekend, but apparently on WikiLeaks was released a 1.4 gigabyte. That's 1.4 gigabytes of information, and it's encrypted with an AE-526, which basically means you're going to have a hard time decrypting it. Now, here's the question. all of the files that they've released since 2006, it dwarfs in comparison to what's on here because it's compressed data. What did they put on that server this weekend? A lot of people are speculating, Bob, and this is, and if Matt Osborne's listening, you need to do a whole, you need to do a whole data mine research on this whole story. I'm telling you, it's bigger than you know it is. A lot of people are speculating that it's a dead man switch. What Assange has essentially done is put up a bunch of information, and he has several different codes, encryptions with encryptions with encryptions. So if anything happens, everyone around the world basically has this file on torrent files. Everyone's downloaded it, and everyone around the world right now is trying to hack it on their WordPad. I actually saw a few posts on it. I was like, oh, my God, you got to be kidding me. But actually, people are just trying, and I've actually been following it up on a thread, how far people have got with the decryption process, and it's really fascinating because, again, nobody knows what's on it. And this is a serious message because then you...
Well, didn't Liz Cheney recently come out and suggest that the Obama administration needs to have Assange killed or some such?
That's true. That's true. And there's all kinds of great sides to the soap opera. That's why I said for Matt, he should do some more investigation into this because there's the whole backstory with Assange. And I want to say this. I am skeptical on Assange as a character, not in what he's doing, but I'm a skeptic because the media portrays him as a Bond villain. He looks like a damn Bond villain. but see, there's a whole thing about this. Like
yeah, but he doesn't have a cat that we know of.
Like something's not right about this story. And then there's this guy who came out who is one of the founders of WikiLeaks named John Young. He has a site called Cryptome.org, and he's actually doing data mining against Assange. So there's a lot of... spy versus spy type drama going on, but the important thing is to understand is that WikiLeaks has done an unprecedented type of move in internet history, where they've taken a file, literally encrypted it. Nobody knows what's on it. It could be some of the most classified information that the U.S. government doesn't want us to know, but yet no one can reach it, and it's like a message. If anyone gets hurt with WikiLeaks, we're going to send the codes, and a lot of people are going to have this information in their possession.
You know, I did notice the Afghanistan stuff being downplayed. I think it was John Kerry that I saw being interviewed where he said, well, we've gone through it, and after all, I don't think there were that many surprises.
You know,
which is Washington Beltway code for holy crap.
And you know, one last thing before I go, and it has to do with the economy at large and the stories within stories that we're missing, kind of like the domino effect. East St. Louis has let go 30% of their police force people. 30% of East St. Louis's police force has been let go. Now, that creates a chain reaction because there aren't enough cops on the street. Let's add something else, too. Philadelphia is already closing some of its firehouses. You're going to see this more and more, and you're going to see the crime escalate. You're going to see the chaos escalate, and this is where I say to you people, and this is my...
And then you're going to hear the right wing blame that one in the White House.
Right. They're going to blame that one in the White House, and also it's distraction within distraction within distraction.
Did you see the remarks of the Arizona's lunatic fringe Senator John Kyle? Someone pointed out that because you know all the baggers and wingnuts and border aficionados. Phoenix is the kidnapping capital of America. And somebody pointed out to John Kyle, well, you know, we checked the FBI statistics and crime's low, the lowest, Phoenix has the lowest crime since 1968. And you know what the wingnut response to that was?
What was that?
La 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 la, not listening, la la la. Well, you know, that's speculative. That's not really, those aren't really real figures.
I think it's interesting, and this may be cold-blooded of me, and this is my, I'm ending on this note, very cold-blooded. the sheriff Arpaio $1 million bounty? Raise it up, boys. Raise it up. I don't know if you heard about that. The Mexican drug cartel offered a $1 million on the head of Sheriff Arpaio.
Oh, that, you know, he probably masturbates over that.
He probably does.
Yeah, well, if he can find it, he is a chubby little fella.
Oh, and one last thing. Did you hear who is announcing to be president for Thursday, announcing their run for president?
Oh, no. I'm afraid.
No, it's quite interesting. Is Wyclef Jean. He's going to run for the president of Haiti.
Oh.
So, people, that's something interesting indeed. And I hope it creates a dialogue in this country for more relations.
Well, I'm sure that Glenn Beck will turn that into a pending American invasion by Haitian armies of Haitian. Oh my God.
We'll see how far we go. As always, Bob. It's been a pleasure talking to you, and
it's always a joy, David.
All right.
Let me know if you get that thing hacked.
Yeah. You know what? I'll send you some string codes that I've been checking out that are really interesting.
You know, see, I got a feeling it's 1.4 gigabytes of all work and no play mix, Jack a dull boy.
Well, you know, actually, there was one string of code that someone lifted, and it actually took us to a site on plasma sheathing. You got me, people. You got me. What's going on? Who knows?
Well, but the beauty of it is he, you know, with this kind of thing, you know that he's got the Uniblab 10 million down in the basement of the NSA, you know, smoke's pouring off the drives.
Right. Right.
And
it makes you wonder. That's for sure.
Does indeed. David, have a wonderful evening.
All right. You too, Bob.
Bye now.
Later.
Pop culture correspondent and oh so much more. That's David calling from Maine. Onward. Hey, welcome to the program.
Bob, how are you doing?
I'm doing well.
I'm sitting back, relaxing, chilling out, and I'm reading about dinosaurs. Dinosaurs, the Triceratops, it turns out, it actually has a second form. It changes the shape of its skull through its life cycle, and so it becomes what they thought was a different dinosaur. A Triceratops is just a baby of this other dinosaur. So, yes, Triceratops is now a new classification. Anyway,
I'll be damned. Well, you know, it's interesting you would start with dinosaurs, Matt.
Yeah.
Because I don't know if you're aware of this, but the disease is spreading. I sent this link along to John Fox earlier in the evening. You know how we've got that Creationism Museum in Kentucky?
Uh-huh.
The one that Reverbo wants to get us all green jackets to the green jackets with the horn logo on the lapel on the pocket to go and investigatively journalize.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
Oh, with a camera.
Right. Well, the disease is spreading. I was over at Jonathan Turley's blog and I read the following and then went running naked in the yard. Australia is facing a controversy that is all too familiar to Americans. Fundamentalists in state schools are teaching children that humans and dinosaurs lived together and Noah brought dinosaur eggs onto the ark. Children are also taught that Adam and Eve were not eaten by dinosaurs, quote, because they were under a protective spell. Oh, you laugh. Oh, you laugh, Matt Osborne, but it ain't no laughing matter. The disease is spreading.
To paraphrase Arthur C. Clarke, any theological explanation sufficiently developed is indistinguishable from magic. Yeah, it's magic. Poof, there's your sandwich.
More cowbell.
This song does not have enough cowbell. I definitely need more cowbell.
Yes.
I got a fever.
More dinosaur.
It's more dinosaur. So anyway, I'm
and that on an evening when I play Blue Oyster Cult too. So.
Yeah.
See how it all just sort of pulls together.
It all just sort of pulls together. Now I just wanted to touch base with you. I am still wore out, man. I Netroots Nation just the drive home just sapped the energy right out of me. I mean, I don't think I can do that again. So it's like, what do I do now with the car situation and everything? You've probably seen that in my blog, and I don't want to bother your audience with it.
Air conditioner, air conditioner, she no worky.
No, it no worky. And that is the beginning of the Daily Coast Diary.
You know what I loved about the beginning of your Daily Coast Diary today, Matt?
So what was that?
I loved the little laundry list of a Ford Mustang with dodgy AC, two fatties of Alabama Red Creek, seven lore tabs, five baclofen, and a, but the part that murdered me was the sheet of Benadryl. I got that early this morning, and when and I'm cruising along, yeah, okay, Alabama Red Creek, sheet of Benadryl, ah! Because you don't know it when you write this stuff, Matt, but you took me time traveling. And all of a sudden, I was a very young 15-year-old little Alabama redneck in an elevator in a hotel outside Venice, Italy, and a kid from Weirton Madonna High School was offering me $20 so he could crush up my remaining Dramamine and snort it. A sheet of Benadryl. Oh, man. Because I can remember him saying, oh, man, I love Dramamine. It's great to snort. Me, I was just having the time of my life being 15 and drinking the Red Table wine.
Oh, no, the Red Table wine, yes. One where they teach you respect for alcohol.
Yeah, but sheet of Benadryl I was not prepared for.
Sheet of Benadryl, I found that just sort of slipped out, and I thought it appropriate.
More than. Is there really such a thing as Alabama Red Creek?
You know, I don't even know. There might be.
Yeah, don't burn your sources, dude.
I wouldn't even know who to ask.
Don't burn the sources.
No.
Bats.
It's something I made up to describe, you know. Anyway.
Yeah.
Anyway.
It's a cigarette blend.
The bat. Let's talk about the bats for a second. I saw all these windmills as I was driving across the country on I-40. They loomed over us at night, like great big twirling bats. I'm dead serious. It is a very strange, disconcerting, and kind of magnificent feeling after a while when you're driving through Oklahoma at night. It really is.
I can imagine. No, I mean, the breaking down in Oklahoma or the panhandle of Texas or something like that, that's Twilight Zone stuff.
Oh, yeah. Amarillo, of course, is a big town, and if you can make it to Amarillo, you might be okay.
Amarillo by morning. Yeah, I remember.
Yeah, there's nothing in Amarillo. I've also been to other parts of Texas.
What do you want for a town that's just named Yellow?
For a town named Yellow. Yeah, well, Amarillo, isn't that like a flavor?
No, that's a color. Yellow.
No wonder I always connected the two in my head. I can't even talk. I am so tired. Listen, Bob, I want to stay on with you all night, but I have got to lay down.
You sound like you're on the way out, dude.
Yeah, and it's got nothing to do with Alabama Red Creek, okay?
No, it's got
everything to do with just being completely, totally exhausted. And
yeah, it's got nothing to do with Alabama Red Creek and everything to do with Pine Hill Paralyzer.
I have... Like grandma's boy. I have something going on in my blog this week. I am holding a Burning Man or Wicker Man type festival for Andrew Breitbart.
Oh joy!
Yeah, I'm calling it the Breitbart's Burn Notice.
And folks can look up what a burn notice is.
Yes, there's a TV show about burn notices. People have this concept in their minds already. It's there. It's waiting. A burn notice is when an intelligence agency decides that someone is not fit to be listened to anymore, when they have
proven themselves to be
kind of like screwball or hardball or curveball or hard slider or whatever the cough syrup swilling freak was that helped us start the Iraq War. Didn't they serve a burn notice on him? Didn't British intelligence and German intelligence?
Yes, they all served a burn notice on him. Also, during that period of time, the neocons attempted to reestablish contact with Manuchehr Gorbanifar, a key figure in the Iran-Contra dealings, who was issued a burn notice in the late 1980s because he was a proven confabulator who had gone so far as to actually fail three lie detector tests. So, yeah, a burn notice is when an agency disavows somebody.
Right.
And what needs to happen is that the Internet needs to disavow Andrew Breitbart. This guy just makes shit up. And if you sandwich that between Martians and, you know, the devil in my toaster, then we know what it is, and we find it entertaining. But that's not what he's doing. He's doing something very different. He's doing something very wrong. So I have a burn notice going on in my blog, and I'm asking bloggers out there to join me. Email me right there on the website. Tell me on Twitter. I want people to sign up to this burn notice. Bloggers, activists, guys who just tweet. I want you all signed on to this. I want the Internet to issue this burn notice to Andrew Breitbart.
Cool, cool, cool.
But anyway, I was thinking maybe we should actually get some guests on the show. We have a really good thing going on here, but, like, it's...
I think it could be real fun.
I got together with Brad Friedman and done a broadcast and all that was going on.
Not a bad idea at all.
We should do that now.
Well, I don't know about now. I mean, we've only got 16 minutes left.
Well, no, not right now. But we should do that. We should do that soon.
In the very near future.
But for now, man, I am totally about to zonk out. I will talk to you later.
Okie dokie. You've been into that sheet of Benadryl. It's obvious.
Yeah, I am in that sheet of Benadryl. I have to take Benadryl because of my allergies. And I actually have to help mow lawns and stuff. And, yeah, I need allergy medicine. So there you go.
All right. Matt Osborne, have a wonderful evening. Enjoy the Benadryl and say hi to anybody needs saying hi to.
All right, man.
All right, later.
Bye-bye.
Bye now. Matt Osborne, OsborneInc.com, OsborneInc.com. If you go and read today's Daily Coast Diary that he wrote by going to OsborneInc.com, it is a merry ride that includes a couple of fatties of, what was it? Alabama Red Creek and seven Lortabs, five Baclofen, and a sheet of Benadryl. See, nobody shares. Yeah, I kid. Email rolling in from Jim and a couple other folks. This has resonated with the East St. Louis issue. Jim says, with one-third of the police force in East St. Louis being fired, firemen being dismissed, and the decaying infrastructure, these teabaggers wish to follow K Street into anarchy that will make martial law resemble an Easter pageant. My name is Senator John Eslin, and there are 276, 123, 57 communists in the State Department. Says Jim, the enemies of this country and civilized world. Civilized world think have their own internal assets. Indeed. Onward. Hey, welcome to the program.
Good evening, Brother Bob.
Brother Luke, what's up? Long time no talk.
I know, but not been a good July was not a good month.
Tell me about it.
Oh, no, we ain't going to go into that. That take a
no, I mean, it weren't so hot on my end, neither, especially the last part.
Let's see. What do we got here? One thing about dealing with teabaggers. I always remember the there's two, three good sayings, but the one I go with is, Also remember, crazy's only skin deep. Stupid goes all the way to the bone.
And don't it.
But, have you noticed, though, in all this talking about Brother Breitbart, that all the national mainstream media, when they talk about it other than maybe MSNBC, don't it bother to bring up the fact of what happened when California and New York's attorney generals looked into the Acorn tapes?
Yeah, there wasn't anything there.
Well, I mean, and in fact, there were things there that showed they lied and you know, cut stuff out that would have destroyed their story. You know, they have that one scene of some guy chasing O'Keefe and his girlfriend, whatever, across a parking lot trying to get information from them. You know, because he knew they were essentially committing a crime, and he's trying to catch them, and they filmed the guy chasing after them. Oh, I tell you what. Oh, what else was there? Oh, I tell you one of the two things that our media is missing, beating the drum with like everything they can, is this 9/11 bill. They ought to be talking about that every 15 minutes, going, you know, these are people who went above and beyond, who I don't mind if you want to raise my taxes to pay for their health care. You know what I mean? That they did their civic duty and plus more. And to hear these right wingers absolutely just whining about it.
Great big deal.
And just because we told you the air was safe when it wasn't, it isn't our fault. No. Now that you're sick, how dare you get sick? That isn't our fault.
Yeah, you can almost hear Pastor Hagee. You can almost hear Pastor Hagee screaming, "Die!"
I know. Oh, have you seen the one that was? I think it's at the DNC. This thing about the new contract on America. Why isn't that playing on the TV? I mean, that's something they should play at the beginning of every news show if they can get their hands on it. You know, showing how the Republicans and the teabaggers are almost so much in line, it's hard to tell the difference. You know, where they're wanting to still, like I say, go, oh, it's just a little fringe group. No, it's not. Not when you got, like I say, you got John Kyle and you got, you know, not just even crazy batshit Bachman, you know, you've got some of the more mainstream now are starting to spiel, give out the same spiel, and it's like, you know, it's like, guys, don't sit there and say that, you know, when you want to hide from it, that, oh, I'm not one of them. It's like, well, gee, you've been talking about it just like you are. So, oh, what was the other one? Oh, somebody else brought it up earlier. Like you brought it up, I think is what it was, the thing about Rangel. You know, here it is, you know, Charlie Rangel hadn't even had his case heard in open. You know what I mean? They said, here are the charges. But, you know, amazingly enough, as I remember when it was Tom the Hammer delay, that went on for like 2 years. You know, and no one would talk about it.
Yeah, crickets.
Yeah. And the same, like you said, the same thing with Engel and the same thing with good old Dapper Dave Vitter. You know. Every time once they want to start with morality, I go, okay, which one of the senators gets to bring the hookers?
Yeah, I've got the cheese dip. Who's got the prostitutes?
Who picks up the adult diapers? Come on, we got to get all the things in order. You know, every time I hear them wanting to start going on their holier than thou thing, it's time to start pushing it right back at them. That's the biggest problem I got right now is with the Obama group is it's like, look, guys. You all are so scared of your own shadows that if anybody yells boo, you guys jump 10 feet. Unfortunately, we're in the ceiling's at 7. You know, do this once or twice, and we don't have to worry about the problem anymore.
Hear, hear.
But, you know, it's just amazing sitting watching some of this stuff, and you're just kind of going, you know.
Where am I? What planet am I on? Right. Who took my reality?
Well, you know, it's like sometimes you see some of these teabaggers and you're sitting there going, I thought Admiral Stockwood had passed away. Damn, you know. Sometimes you just get that feeling that some of these people are, where am I? Why am I here? What am I doing? Oh, God, I tell you what. Oh, two quick TV alerts. If you want to set the VCR for early, early tomorrow morning at 4 a.m., they're showing Demon Seed.
Oh, no.
Which is a really good science fiction film that just kind of, you know. And tomorrow also is Steve McQueen Day on Turner Classic.
Yeah, that could be fun. You know, Bullet, maybe.
Tomorrow night, I think it's it's on, and they're showing Great Escape. And, oh, I think about noontime tomorrow, they're showing The Blob. And just to let you know, one of my favorite movies is on Wednesday morning. I think it's about noontime or so, 10:30, something like that. We talked about this before, Deadline USA with Humphrey Bogart.
Oh yeah, as the newspaper editor who was uncorruptible.
Yeah, and they're selling the paper out from under him. Essentially, it's him and Ethel Barrymore.
Yeah, it's The Sun versus The Day, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a great one, truly.
And it's one of them ones when you watch it, you just sit there and just go, you know, it's a 60 year old movie, but some of the things they talk about are still just as relevant today. You know, when you go in there and look at what they're talking about, because he talks about it. There's a scene in there where he's I think at the court, and he's describing the opposition, and he's talking about, you know, they've got all these things, and they're at the bar, and they're having a fake wake for their paper, and he and they're going through talking about the papers and how they're changing. And it's just incredible to listen to it and realize that this hasn't changed a whole lot, you know, in 60 years.
And reminders like that are good from time to time, Luke.
Oh, yeah.
Do I recall that there's a really stirring monologue in there somewhere that Bogart delivers about the value of journalism and the importance of the Fourth Estate? And
yeah, at the very end where they're having, the finals, they have to go before a court because it's like the daughters are selling the paper from Ethel Barrymore, and they have to have a court hearing on it, and he's one of the people that gets up to speak.
Yeah. Okay.
So, but
it's a darn shame I don't get Turner Classic Movies.
Oh, I'm sorry, bud. But I tell you what, I will talk to you later in the week. I know you still have about 10 minutes, so maybe get a couple more people in.
All right, Luke. Good to hear from you, my friend. Take care.
See you.
Bye now. I was beginning to worry about Luke. I'm glad he chimed in. And that pretty much brings us to the end of this evening's program. A reminder, please. Yeah, it's the beginning of the month, and the horn is in its usual hard spot. We will get through August and try to get through September. But you know, with the hole from July, it's tough. But like I said, I'm laying all that stuff aside. Right now, the most critically important thing to keeping the horn on the air is to keep the White Rose going, whiterosesociety.org. There's a PayPal button there, and Ben needs significant help so that he can get the month's bills paid. Times are tough, and I realize that. God, I realize that. But it takes a lot to keep all of this going, and, you know, lucky for us, you think well enough of it, of what's going on here to help keep it going, and you do. But, you know, Ben has labored for so long and said so little about what his own contributions, not just his sweat equity, but out of his pocket, to keep the White Rose going. He never makes pleas unless it is absolutely, dire. And it is dire right now. So do please go by whiterosesociety.org, put the PayPal button to use, and help all of this and everything else that the White Rose Society does going. I offer this to you sincerely, very sincerely. This is not just Ben needs a little help. This is literally the difference between the horn continuing and the horn not continuing. So I'm hoping that I will hear good things back from Ben about the PayPal account sort of jingling a little bit, so that he can get this bill paid in the next couple of days. Otherwise, bye-bye. I hate operating like that, but you know what? We're liberals. Like I said, that Rot Online conference that shadowed Netroots Nation, they were funded largely by Cook, Coke, Koch Industries, and they wanted for nothing. Because the right wing panders and promotes a pro-corporate, anti-worker, anti-working family, anti-middle class, anti-lower class agenda. And there's lots of people out there who are more than happy to support that. But when it comes to liberal radio, liberal media, we have to do it together. us working stiffs, us people who know the wonder of wondering when we will have two nickels to rub together. So that's the reality. WhiteRoseSociety.org, and hit the PayPal button so this can all continue. Please. Ben's already pitched in out of his own wallet. Help him, please, make up the funds. That is the program for tonight. Thank you for joining in for what has truly been a rousing Moran Monday. We'll be back tomorrow evening with the Tuesday program. I hope you'll be here with us. If you've never been to the chat room, you should jump in because it was a zany one tonight, without a doubt. Thanks to everybody who makes all of this happen. First of all, you who contribute to make sure that the lights stay on and the mic stays hot, as our buddy Kate would say. Thanks to our chat room moderator, Lottie, to our news ninjas, Gene and Susan, to our blogger, Texas Betsy. Thanks to our Southeast correspondent, Matt Osborne, at Osborne, Inc., OsborneInk.com. Go there and read his Daily Coast entry today. You will, and if you are a Daily Coast registrant, go ahead and wreck it as well, please. Our op-ed correspondent is Reverbo with Cavalcade of Crazy at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. My head writer is David in Tennessee. Please remember our dear friend, Judy Bonds, in her struggle against cancer. Remember her in your thoughts, your prayers, your fond wishes. You know what? I'll go ahead and say this. If you want to send her your good wishes, if you don't mind, go ahead and send them to me, to my email address. Just put "For Judy" in the subject line. BobKincaid@gmail.com. Put "For Judy" in the subject line, and I will see to it that all of your good wishes are delivered to her. I'll print them all off and get them into her hands. I know it will mean something to her to know that the Horn family has her in the cradle of their thoughts, prayers, and wishes. All of this is accomplished in part by the generous continued partial sponsorship of Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net, and coalriverwind.org. That's why Coal River Mountain Watch is, in fact, the hardest working, bravest people I know, and that's why I say it every night. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you.
Conversation cussing and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! are raised. Step right up. It's Moran Monday on the horn. And the Morans are bulging at the tent fabric walls even as I speak. Step right up. You will not believe your eyes. Well, it's radio. You won't believe your ears when you hear these Morans, dangerous Morans, silly Morans, political Morans, social Morans, the right wing on its Moranic display. Only on Mondays with the Morans, Moran Monday on the horn. Hurry, hurry, hurry. Head for the hills or you'll be up to your armpits in Morans. It is indeed Moran Monday on the horn, and I'm awfully glad to say that because it feels like I haven't been able to do a Moran Monday in forever. But lo and behold, we've got them. And it's worth noting that there are a gentle reminder, gentle listener, that there are degrees and distinctions of Moran, such as, you ask, I'll tell you. There are Morans who are just plain dumb. Morans who are just plain silly. Morans who are just plain ignorant. But then there are also the dangerous ones. I think I've told you on occasion that one of my favorite pieces of historical fiction, and it is a real live genuine romp, is a 1980 novel by a brilliant man who lived for 10 years or so in Mexico, learning about the life ways and the ancient history and customs of pre-conquest civilization there. His name was Gary Jennings. The book is called Aztec. If you've never read it, I highly recommend it. Yeah, there's some dodgy sexual stuff in there, but I think we're all grown-ups here and we can deal with that. But Gary Jennings does a beautiful job of intermingling very complicated and difficult to pronounce Nahuatl words, or Nahuatl, not sure which was the ancient tongue of the time, with his narrative. And one of those has always stuck in my head. There's a passage where he asks, "Are you Tlawele, friend, or merely Xolopitli?" Tlawele or Xolopitli, because apparently that tongue makes a distinction between Michelle Bachman batshit crazier than a sprayed roach, which otherwise might be taken as somewhat innocuous, and the dangerously, homicidally, frightfully, criminally insane. Xolopitli is the sort of goofy but loony but otherwise harmless variety, Xolopitli. And Tlawele is criminally insane. And that's a distinction worth remembering, Tlawele versus Xolopitli. And you know what? Tonight's Moran Monday nominees display for all of us the variety that we that we would recognize as Tlawele. What do I mean? Well, I'll give you an idea. Let's see. Let's start with time travel a little bit. You know, we were gone to Netroots Nation in Las Vegas, that lengthy, fascinatingly painful experience broadcast-wise. And at the same time, there was a fully functional meetup taking place across town called Right Online. It's the Wingnut Shadow Convention that shadows Netroots Nation every year. It's kind of cute, you know, sad, pathetically cute, that they feel like they've got to chase around after the Netroots. But on the other hand, they were very well funded and all of their crap worked. But anyway, at that Right Online meeting, there were a number of speeches given,
And I'm trying to recall who the woman was. I'm searching my email here. I probably should have had this up earlier. But David in Tennessee was telling me he caught just a little bit of this creepy little right-wing weirdo's speech to write online. There was a speech given by and I'm trying to find her name. I said batshit crazy Michelle Bachmann. It was her. David in Tennessee reporting to me that this is just precious. I mean, this is we need to. I searched in vain. I didn't have the time to put into the search that I needed to put in. But I searched for this video. If any of you guys find it, it might be over at C-SPAN. If you find it, shoot me the link. Because, like, in the next hour or so, because we all need to hear this. Michelle Bachmann, batshit crazy, went to Right Online, Right on Loons, right? And delivered the usual right-wing teabagging, birther, deather, tenther, 13th, or 14th, or booger eater, the diatribe, you know, the usual yada, 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 Social Security must die, yada, 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 Medicare must die, yada, 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 God must live, yada, yada, yada. But this is the part that just slayed me when I got David's email. She closed her dog and pony show with what David describes as a shaggy patriot or shaggy dog story about chaplains sacrificing their lives aboard a troop transport carrier steaming between Newfoundland and Greenland during the Second World War. Well, for starts, she couldn't pronounce Newfoundland. But the better part, the best part of it, and, oh, this is why I want the audio. As she told the story, and really, I don't know, have we grandfathered Michelle Bachmann out of the More In Monday yet? The list is getting too big. I just know we can't count Mussolini, because she's just past Mistress Emeritus or whatever.